Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope for this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black me. Ow.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker. Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, October 17, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, as always. And, pretty fucking tired tonight, but I'm going to do, the best thing I can for you guys. I'm going to do some NFL talk. At around 10 o'clock, I'm going to have Shane Strickland join me. And, he's a rising star in the independent scene. And, want to hear some from him and, help others learn a little more about him, including myself, because I only know so much. So, that's what we're doing there. Got some, obviously, wrestling talk. TNA did a little thing on Sunday. CZW did something on Saturday. A bunch of different things I'm going to get to. Let me see. I think I got Andrew on. Andrew?
What's up?
Hey, yeah, I got Andrew here. This is, for those who don't know, this is Andrew Carluck from Stern Nation.
Yeah, I'm pulling a regular Wanda Sykes Jr. with you today, sitting in for the first hour.
What's that?
I said I'm pulling a regular Wanda Sykes Jr. with you and sitting in for the first hour.
There you go. I figured, we do the football thing. Normally, Two Scoops comes on as well. He had to start his show a little earlier tonight. He had a guest lined up. So, he shot me his picks, but, he's going to have to, tune in or pop in next week if possible. So we'll see what goes on there. Another pretty bad week for me. I mean, I think I came off of like 6 wins. I think you guys did slightly worse than me, but I would have took that one extra loss if my team didn't get the shit kicked out of them. Preference I have. I'd just rather take one more loss than when I took in that one.
Ironic after the lively debate between you and Two Scoops last week that
both the teams you were debating lost.
yeah, definitely. What can you do? I mean, obviously ain't picking them quite that great this year. And, yeah, like I said, I mean, that was a rough one. I mean, the rematch. Yeah, I had a, what was it? Let me see. This was week six. So, yeah, I had six wins. You ended up with five. Nick had five and Stan had four. So, yeah, it was rough. And I know you haven't been picking with us since the beginning, so I haven't really kept track, like, you know, a cumulative number for you because you came in a little late. But at this point.
Yeah, for fun anyways.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Next year I'll
all we're doing it for either. Otherwise, we'd be in bad shape. but I'm at 41, Nick's at 39, and Stan's at 38, so we're still all right neck and neck, you know. One week I'll tank, and then they'll do slightly better, and then the next week, you know, they'll tank, and I'll do slightly better, so it kind of keeps us at an even keel. But a lot of crazy stuff went on in last week's games of football. You know, the Steelers-Titans, I think that was pretty much wrapped by the time we did last week, or at least enough so where we knew the Titans were way, way ahead of where people expected them to be. So
it was done by the time we got off.
Yeah, they ended up winning that game completely unexpectedly. Johnson had a 91 yards. That was probably a game high for the season, which is pretty awkward for a guy who calls himself the fastest man in football.
That was the only game I bet on last week that I didn't lose, that I lost. So I was feeling pretty good.
Oh, wow. There you go. I don't got a guy. Luckily, I wouldn't have a paycheck. the Raiders and Falcons, I mean, a lot of these things are really tough to tell. This is the type of thing when they put the Falcons up there, like, yeah, they're clearly one of the best teams in the NFL because they haven't lost one. Yeah, but when you bang out for four quarters with the Raiders and win by 3 points, you know, your record looks awesome, but...
It's really too early to say who's going to be the best team in the league. It's only week six, week seven now. So,
sure.
You know, that's more of a conversation to have in, like, week 12, week 13.
Sure. But, you know, it always goes on. And yeah. I clearly have my shit to talk, but after last week, you know, I gotta pump my brakes a little bit, you know.
That's what you do. No one will ever accuse you of being a Fairweather fan, that's for sure.
No, that's my guys. And, you know, another game they had, the Browns beat the Bengals. And I've continued to say that the Browns are a better team than they've looked like record-wise. I mean, when you look at a 1-5 Browns, they've scrapped with every team they went in there against. I don't really know if they got blown out this year at all.
Don't think they have.
No, I mean, they've been pretty consistent staying in the game and just losing. And I don't know, this kind of looked like the Browns team I expected them to be, you know, for a couple of those games. And again, I don't think the Browns are going to turn it around and make the playoffs, but I think within the next 2 or 3 years, the Browns are going to be one of those teams in the AFC to watch out for.
Yeah. And I mean, like I think they might play like a spoiler type of role this year. Maybe one of those teams in week 17, that's a game from the playoffs they might beat and
sneaking in for the wild card
playoffs, or they might just win the game to, you know, they, who knows, they might sneak their way in. Kind of unlikely now, but crazier things have happened.
Yeah, and my thing too is if they continue to just scrap out games and really not win that many, they're going to wind up with a big draft pick that's only going to make them that much better for next year. So, you know.
I don't typically take a lot of Cadence in first round draft picks because they bust more often than they work.
Yeah, true.
So later
true. But
on,
I mean, it,
really get the
you know, a lot of times if it's a defensive player, and more times than not, I think the busts come in that huge offensive guy, don't they? Like the quarterbacks, the running backs.
Right. My statement about that is, as a Chicago fan, David Terrell was picked number 9 overall.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, if you go, you know, with that early pick and you end up with an offensive lineman, they usually hold you pretty steady. And, you know, defensive guys usually hold you pretty steady. But, you know, you get your Ryan Leafs in there.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan Leaf provided us with some great sound bites.
What's that?
Ryan Leaf gave us some great sound bites.
Yeah, the Dolphins beating the Rams, which is it's kind of like an anybody's game thing. The Rams have beat some teams you didn't expect them to. They've been scrappy. The Dolphins have been scrappy, but it's really on and off for both of them. I mean, you know, St. Louis still went in there, put up 315 passing yards. You know, not a bad day, but somehow Miami's found a way to win.
Yeah, it's a really weird thing with Miami, because no one gave them a chance to do anything. And, you know, Reggie Bush obviously wasn't at 100%, but they still pulled that out.
Mm-hmm. A surprise, in my opinion, and I think pretty much across the board, I don't remember seeing any NYJs across the board, but the Jets beating the Colts 35-9. If Sanchez wasn't doing something to, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows with that team, you know? It's just like it's so easy to pick against them because realistically they're so terrible. But, you know, they pulled that one out. And the Colts aren't a great team by any means, but definitely should, by all reasons, should have beaten the Jets last week.
Right. And, I mean, unless the NFL site or the ESPN site has a typo here, Sanchez only threw for 82 yards in a 35-point win.
Wow. That's all I
he was 11 for 18.
I don't know how they got all those points because I didn't watch the game, but...
Yeah. He was 11 for 18, 82 yards, two touchdowns. Green had 32 carries, ran for 161 yards, and three touchdowns. And I think that's pretty much where you got it from, but... An 82-yard... passing effort by a guy with 35 points on the board isn't what you expect.
It's not a fantasy owner's dream by any means.
No. Well then Nick's team go down there and pretty much bang out the Chiefs 38-10. Freeman put up 328 yards, three touchdowns. Kind of what Two Scoop said they were going to do every single game this season, but you know, I'm sure he took this one as a you know, automatic win. But in the same token,
as well as to say they'll do that against the Chiefs, then you know, whoever else that's better.
Yeah, so you know, well now we broke through and it's going to happen every week, but you know, you expect that out of a, you know, diehard fan such as Two Scoops, and it's great for him, you know, that at least a lot of what he was saying actually came through in this game, and they beat the Chiefs up. So the Chiefs were a lot of really unsurety. I mean, they were 1-5, but, you know, even going into this game 1-4, they were kind of – you weren't sure what they were going to do defensively. They seemed to challenge quite a few teams. Again, they didn't come out with too many wins for it, but I didn't know how to pick this game. I picked the Bucks, but I didn't know, you know, I wouldn't be blown away if the Chiefs came out with a win, because neither one of those teams have really cemented themselves. I mean,
they haven't really embarrassed themselves yet this year, you know, like,
right.
They're right. Losing, but they're losing the teams they should be losing to, and they're beating mm-hmm. the teams they should. The problem is that they're not on the level where they should be beating a lot of good teams.
Sure. But, I mean, you got a 2-3 Bucks and a 1-5 Chiefs now, so it's kind of still up in the air, but again, I mean, if you could put up, you know, 328 yards, three touchdowns, you know, it's not a bad number to go with. And, you know, you can't be an upset Bucks fan this week.
No, not at all.
What you can be an upset fan of is the Eagles. And and I could be a happy 49er fan, even in a loss, looking at the Eagles do what they're doing. I mean, Michael Vick is just horrendous. You know, throwing for 311 yards, but, you know, picks and fumbles and everything all over the place. They lose to the Lions 26-23. Yeah, it was an overtime game and everything like that. But let me see exactly what the turnovers were on this one. Yeah, he threw two picks. He must have been sacked like 100 times. No, he was sacked three times, lost the 25 yards, total of three turnovers. So that was the the two picks plus a fumble. He fumbled another one that he recovered. So, I mean, it just the ball was all over the place with Mike Vick. And, yeah, I mean, you just see him shaking his head and shaking his head, and you think of dead dogs, and you just got to smile.
Do you think they're going to get rid of Andy Reid? And if so, do you think they're going to wait until the season's over?
I don't know. And, I mean, to get rid of Andy Reid and favor of Michael Vick would be a really strange move. I mean, they did it the last time where they got rid of McNabb in favor of Reed, but I mean, is Vick the guy? I don't know. I don't know if you take this season as a loss this early, but at some point you got to clean house, and that means coach, quarterback, and all of that, instead of just removing a quarterback and going, all right, guy, you seem to be leading these guys into a snake pit, so go ahead and do that with the next guy. I don't know.
The thing with Vick, too, is you have to realize even though he lost a couple of years because he was in prison, he was drafted in 2001. You know, that's pretty old for a quarterback, especially
mm-hmm.
a mobile quarterback that generally takes a little bit more punishment.
Yeah.
So I don't think Donovan McNabb too much anymore. I think he's a backup somewhere.
Right. Vick, and, you know, the dog stuff aside, was always one of the most entertaining quarterbacks to watch. I mean, some of the stuff that he was able to do on the field was amazing. And he had a gun on him as far as throwing a ball, like on a long ball, which not every mobile quarterback has. But, again, it does take a punishment on you. And especially when you put a target on your head with the type of controversy thing that he brought about, it's got to people are keeping their mouths shut. They're not putting vocal bounties out like New Orleans, but I'm sure a couple of guys are like, you know what, I really don't care if this guy gets hurt. And he's coming across the middle on a run. So guess what?
and even outside of that, just the nature of the type of quarterback he is. So
sure.
It just opens him up more to injuries. I think remember the preseason where he broke his leg first series of the preseason?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just they got a lot of stuff going on, and you know, Vic's getting banged up. He's going to become more scared. He's throwing picks. He's turning the ball over more. He's not being protected, and he's just being forced to doing more running plays that he's not being able to handle like he used to. And it's not good. He's gone from more of a Michael Vick to more of a Steve Young. Like, so his runs are a little more limited. You know, he could run it in for your 10, 12 yards if need be, but don't expect Mike Vick to break out for a 50-yard run, you know, and I don't know. Against the other things that he's going to take amongst the game, I don't think it's worth it anymore. So
he's not going to do the shit he did in 2003 anymore.
No, definitely not. And I think they expect half of that, and that's a bad move, especially with McCoy in the backfield. I don't see why you would need that. So anyway, yeah, good for them. I don't know. They got problems. Then you got the Cowboys losing to the Ravens. The Ravens going 5-1, but going 5-1 and still having people question your season from this point out, losing Webb, Ray Lewis, and Nagata for the season. I think that's a game ender.
Yeah. It's, you know, Baltimore is one of those teams I really like watching. Living in Virginia, it's on Fox, I'm usually getting the Redskins. On CBS, I'm usually getting Baltimore.
All right.
And, you know, I like watching them. Last couple of years, I've thought they had a real chance to go to the Super Bowl. Obviously, without Ray Lewis, they're not sniffing it.
Oh, and taking Webb away at cornerback, I mean, it just, you got big problems. Big problems.
Yeah. But that division is so up in the air that that team without Ray Lewis could very well get to the playoffs, but they're not really going to do anything there.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, as much of a team leader as Ray Lewis has been over the years and like this staple of that defense, I mean, Webb not being in the secondary, I think, hurts a whole lot. I don't know if it hurts more, but, I mean, you're opening up a good side of the field that he was a pretty steady cornerback. and did a lot of things. You know, when Ray Lewis would pressure the quarterback, it would end up in Webb's hands quite often. And I don't know. I see bad things for that team. And Flacco's been kind of up and down, even though coming off at a 5-1 record. They're going to be put to the test now for sure.
Yeah, I think the only thing that might help them going into postseason things like that is the fact that they have that 5-1 record, which is a pretty good lead considering that division.
Sure. Yeah. It's not a bad start. Then you had the Bills pulling it out against the Cardinals in the finals. Cardinals starting off that big, 4-0? That unstoppable 4-0. I think they just went two straight losses. Was in overtime, but it was also to the Bills. They have yet to play us in the division yet, so I hope that goes as scripted. And, Fitzpatrick can be pretty good. He wasn't lights out in this game, but in the same token was able to pull out against the Cardinals, who beat the Patriots. And, of course, you could Kevin Bacon it all over the league and figure out who's going to win the Super Bowl, but it's probably not going to be those guys. It is what it is. The Cardinals, I think, started off a much stronger-looking team than they actually are. And the Bills, I think, are a mediocre team, maybe not as horrible as they looked against us. But, you know, what can you do? Overtime game and went to the Bills.
Even the mediocre teams this year aren't playing terrible. You know, it's a really weird season for that kind of thing.
Oh, it is. It is. It's very, very hard to call. Speaking of, the Seahawks beat the Patriots. They scored the last 14 points of the game, despite Brady putting up 395 yards and two touchdowns. Really didn't matter in the end. Wilson put up enough with 293 yards of his own and three touchdowns. And, this is a team that we're going to see on Thursday, and it's going to be really interesting because it'll be our first divisional game. So it's I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of questions to be answered this season. By the end of the season, it's going to be like, oh, well, they started out shaky. You couldn't call them left or right, but they really solidified themselves, or this team came up from nowhere. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of that, and it's really tough who to point at and who's going to be the guys. But
yeah, I'm looking forward to the game tomorrow because, as usual, I have money on it.
Nice. The other thing about that, man, the Patriots have just took losses to two teams out of our division that aren't even us. So, I don't know. I don't know about that. That's the thing. I keep looking at the Patriots going, they're not the Pats that we're used to. They're just not. I mean, Tom Brady's going to be Tom Brady. But they're not the almighty Patriots anymore.
Yeah, and that was always the thing about the Patriots, too, is that, they could put, you know, it was like they had the system in place that they could put almost anybody out there on the field, and it would work. That's just the way their system was laid out. Like Tom Brady, if Tom Brady was drafted by any other team in the league, he probably wouldn't have been successful. So many players have done that. Deion Branch decided to leave, you know, hold out and then get traded. And then he didn't do anything in Seattle, and he came right back. You know,
right.
It's just like that system's set up that way, but it's just right now it's not.
Right, and I don't think they have a defense to back up their offense. I don't even think last year they did. That's why I looked at that team like on paper and just like what they were doing. I was like, man, if we meet them in the Super Bowl, we're gonna hurt them bad. And the Giants went in there and they played that same type of game, just smash mouth defense. And they went in there and they just, you know, they outplayed them on offense. But I don't know. I think the Patriots are going to have some issues coming down the stretch. Again, with this whole league so shaky, there's no saying that the Patriots can't still make it to the Super Bowl, or who's going to be the one to derail them come playoff time. But I guess we'll have to see. They're only a 500 team right now.
They weren't playing that well last year going into the playoffs, but they just turned it on up until the Super
yeah.
Bowl, obviously.
Mm-hmm. The game I hate to talk about, but I gotta. The 49ers and the Giants. We got the shit kicked out of us, 26-3. And my thing about this game overall is really, really bad play calling on Harbaugh's part, for starters. I couldn't believe some of the things he was doing. I think now when you go into the game now, he had a lot of options, and he's been using these options and been a very tricky offensive play caller. He's done things with Colin Kaepernick where Alex Smith got on a roll, he'd pull him out, he'd put Kaepernick in. Kaepernick would scramble for like a 15-yard run for a touchdown or, you know, a first down, or he would do something that was just like, oh, man, like with this pass, run, pass. Everything's working really well. And then you get a quarterback to just come in there and take off. So it kind of caught him off guard. He tried that same type of thing without Alex Smith getting on a roll at all. So it was really weird. It was like a third down type thing, and Alex Smith wasn't doing good yet. He really didn't start to like catch any type of momentum, and then he put the other guy in. Like that looks more like a substitution than it does a trick play. It just came off really weird, and just a couple of the things he was doing along those lines, you know, times he decided to pass when he should have been running, and I don't know, it made for some really, really bad stuff. The Giants played a great game. I mean, make no mistake about it. But Alex Smith still threw for 200 yards, 3 interceptions. This is a guy who went for, I think, 15 games straight without throwing a pick between last year and this year before he finally threw a pick against, I believe, Minnesota. And to throw 3 picks in a game, there's some bad, and he just looked like a terrified quarterback again. And he was overthrowing balls all over the place. And I think when you force the pressure on Alex to the point where he's unsure of his protection and he's unsure of what's going to happen, he's completely inconsistent. And he's throwing balls all over the place and they ain't going anywhere near his – I mean, we had several balls that were really, really far away from a receiver. We had Moss finally caught a good ball, but just he was way off. And – I think that's what kind of bred it, was the fact that he was getting hit a lot, he was getting pressured a lot, and what else are you going to do?
Yeah, I was reading while the game was going on. I was just sort of, because I wasn't watching that game, but I was cruising around Facebook, and I saw you and Nina's post and be like, no, don't take out Smith. You know, like basically it was like a running commentary for it. So I kind of knew everything that was going on.
Yeah, it was the weirdest play calling. It didn't make sense. It was like they were just throwing shit against the wall, hoping something stuck and that we would make some kind of miracle comeback. But, I mean, if you're not going to stick with your quarterback and let him try to mount a comeback and either take the loss or don't take the loss, don't try to pull trick plays to make a comeback. Like, you know, amongst a good back-and-forth game where we're being pretty consistent, if you want to mix it up and throw a trick play, and I understand that, but I don't understand a trick play when you're well behind. I don't get it.
Generally speaking, the smart thing when you're behind is to keep doing what you've been doing and just hope that everything clicks.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem like,
and hope to be more consistent at it and hope they, you know, they slip up enough to make, let you come back or something, but you know, crazy trick plays, and, you know, that's what it lands you, is that type of loss. So, you know.
Bring a different player in, things like that are, you know, you understand that, but trick plays don't really make a whole lot of sense.
No. So that's what happened. The Vikings go in against the Redskins, and, you know, 2 scoops, second team takes a loss. Now, I mean, you know. Ponder threw for 352 yards for 2 touchdowns. I mean, let's make no mistake about it. This team is putting up points. He's completing passes without question. They are covering ground. But in my opinion, it is really up. It's a coin toss. If you got RG3 in the game, I don't think it's a safe win. I don't think it's a safe win against a guy like RG3. Now, again, the Vikings are 4-2. They got the same record as us, and they beat us. They're clearly better. And other than that, I don't know.
But they're not the best team in the division.
Yeah.
number one is all I'm saying.
There you go. You know, and they pulled out towards the end of the game to, extend it a little bit. But, you know, tough fuck game, back and forth, big plays. RG3 is just a game changer completely.
Yeah, it's a really weird game because that one I was watching, and Minnesota was winning pretty heavily. And then all of a sudden, you just saw the game turn around. It's just really odd. That team is really odd. And I'll tell you what, I wasn't really a big believer in RG3. Didn't really care. Didn't think he'd do much this year, but he's surprising me.
Yeah, RG3, he threw 17 for 22 for 182 yards and a touchdown and ran 13 carries for 138 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, that quarterback's good to have on the fantasy football. I can tell you that much. I don't play fantasy football, but I'm pretty sure that would work out for someone who had him.
Yeah, well, I play, and generally speaking, drafting rookies is not the smartest decision. There's two rules for me when I'm drafting. Is I don't draft rookies, and I try to avoid drafting players from my own team.
Right.
And, RG3's a good one. And Cam Newton was the same way last year. It's just like, they go on
draft,
or they go late, and it's like, wow, you probably want them.
Hopefully Griffin doesn't look as upset as Cam does this year, next year.
Well, he plays for the Redskins. I'm sure he will.
Yeah. The Packers went in and put a beating on the unbeatable AFC Titans, and it just continues to show that, again, these unbeatable teams aren't the unbeatable, unstoppable force that people say, which I keep saying, but you need to see them take a loss for people to go, okay. And Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. He put up 6 touchdowns in this game. I don't know what else to say. I mean, if you could throw for 6 touchdowns, you're going to be some form of contender. I mean, again, they're a 500 team at 3-3, but you're going to be some kind of contender throwing 6 touchdowns.
Plus, the Packers are struggling, but come on. It's the tight.
And then you got the last game that happened was the Broncos beating the Chargers. 2-3-3 teams at this point. They rallied from 24 down to come back and beat the Chargers. And just as I said, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. So
it's an exciting game.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that type of comeback. And it's just hard to count out a Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Brady. These guys are just not easy. And Eli Manning comes out like he did a couple of weeks ago and throws for 500 yards. What are you going to do with it? I mean, there's not a lot you could do to make your day better. It's pretty much going down the way you didn't want it to.
These are all guys that there's going to be days that it really doesn't matter who's around them. They're going to have a killer day. Obviously, in the case of like Peyton Manning, it's not as often as he had like in 2005, 2006 when he had an unbelievable group of guys to throw to. But even so, it's these guys just, it's going to come out eventually.
Yeah, and it's never a guy that you can completely count out. You just always have to have in the back of your mind that he could turn the corner and you have big problems that day.
Back when Montana was pretty much washed up, he went to Kansas City, he still had a couple games like that.
Oh, yeah. I believe he went to the playoffs that first year, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm.
He also had Marcus Allen on that team, too, so that helped.
Sure. All right, so let's get into this game, this week's games. Seattle at San Francisco. San Francisco favored by 7.5 points. Wait, I can't go a whole week without doing that. I gotta get my clip out. Let me go up a little bit. So it's Seattle at, where are they at?
San Francisco.
There we go. Lost or not, I gotta get it in there. San Francisco's favored by 7.5 points. Maybe a little much, but I don't know. Of course, I got to go with my guys, and it's almost impossible for me to go against my guys. And
when I made my bets, the line was 5.5, and I'm jumping all over that, taking San Francisco.
Yeah. Even with 7.5?
7.5, I think I'd take them. realistically, 2 points isn't that much of a difference.
Okay, well, you know, it's a difference between a touchdown and more than a touchdown, so.
Yeah.
But Nick's rolling with Seattle on this one. Maybe out of spite. but either way, I can't wait for the game tomorrow night. It's going to be pretty awesome. It's breaking me up all over the place. I got, like, on Saturday I had the game on my TV, or Sunday I had the game on my TV, which wasn't really great to have on my TV, but it was there. And then Thursday I got the game on my TV, and then Monday night the next week is on my TV as well. So it's like consistent games 3 weeks in a row.
That always sucks too when your team, which I'm experiencing too, being a Chicago fan in Virginia, it always sucks when your team is on in your area and they just get trashed. It's like the biggest bummer, because it's like you finally get to go see it, and if you go somewhere to see it, it's even worse.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you go to DW3s or something like that, and your team gets killed, and it's like, man, it came all the way out, and these asshole fans are gonna, you know, give me a hard time.
Yeah, I that's why I can't do any of that stuff. It would just be a bad day. Probably end in cups or something.
A couple weeks ago, when Chicago played Dallas on Monday night, we did that just because there's a ton of Dallas fans around here, and they're just like so fucking obnoxious that I just wanted to. You know, on the off chance the Bears would win, which they creamed them, because when Dallas was winning, they were like, they were all getting in my face and shit. And so, and then when the Bears would score, I'm like, oh, what's the score? I can't see it. Can you tell me?
Yeah.
I was just giving them a hard time and got one of them to flip me off and shit. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we got ours a couple weeks ago as far as locality went, and me sitting here watching on my TV, the Jets just get sodomized and on national television, and, you know, what can you do? So we beat one out of the two people in that stadium, and obviously we have that that giant fish to fry come playoff time if we meet up again. But hey, man, again, I told you about RG3; they got a battle out of that division with that guy, and we'll see. Maybe they'll fire everyone on the Eagles and hire someone who throws a good ball over there. I mean, the season is not nearly over.
That's what we've been saying all along, is that division is wide fucking open. Like, anyone can
get that. It really is, especially when the Giants take a couple losses as they have. So, so then you got Dallas at Carolina. Dallas is favored by 2.5. I'm going with Dallas on this one.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think I'm going to go with Carolina, because under normal circumstances, I'd go with Dallas. But with this season being the way it is, I think Carolina will pull it out. I think they'll win by 10.
I wouldn't doubt it. It's a hard game to call, and I hate picking Dallas because I can't stand them more than any other team in the NFL Football League. But
yeah, your division doesn't really have a lot of bitter rivalries. So
no, all my rivalries are outside of my division. Like, I hate the Cowboys more than anything. I do not like the Giants whatsoever. The Packers I've had quite a bit of despise for quite some time, because, you know, we'd meet in the NFC Championship and Brett Favre would just, you know, it was bad times. So, I mean, those are kind of my things. I've kind of died off of the Packers thing, because even though Aaron Rodgers, I really don't have any ire towards the guy or anything, and, you know, I hate Brett Favre's guts, but, you know.
Yeah, me too, my friend.
He's doing enough things in his life to make himself look stupid, so it's great. sending his cock pics.
You know, a lot of times you don't hate the team, you hate the fans, and Dallas works very well in that, because not only, you know, all the wars in the early 90s they had with the Niners, but just their fans are the most fucking obnoxious assholes on the face of the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. Whose fans are the most obnoxious?
Dallas.
Yeah, partially. Just living where I live, I might have to give the Eagles fans a nudge, and that's another team that I can't stand to the deepest of my being. Oh, they're
well,
so
I'm around
ridiculous.
More Dallas fans than Philly fans, so.
Well, yeah.
But per capita, Philly fans are just as bad.
Oh, yeah, they have a jail in the stadium.
Did you ever hear the story, like the first time, one of the first times that someone went to trial there? Because, you know, they have a court down there, too.
Yeah, right.
And this guy is, like, arrested for, like, you know, like, whipped his clothes off and whipped his dick out and shit. And so he goes into the court.
Brett Favre didn't play for the Eagles.
And the judge is like, what's the matter with you? This is a family establishment. Are you insane? And he goes, well, I'm going to give you one chance. I'm going to give you a chance to make one statement. And based on your statement, I'm going to make a ruling. And this guy's like completely loaded and probably high. And he goes, Troy Aikman's a faggot. And the judge lets him off with like a fine.
Oh, that's funny, because he's probably an Eagles fan, too. He's like, all right, then I got to respect that. That's all he had to say.
Yeah.
All right. We got to whip through a couple of these at some point or another. Again, I mean, we got a bunch of stuff to say about, have at it, but getting, you know, 20 minutes on time or whatever. But Cleveland at Indianapolis. I got Cleveland just because I say Cleveland, I think, is a better team than – they look like record-wise, and Indianapolis isn't really established yet. Again, Andrew Luck could do anything at any time, so I don't really know, but I'm going with Cleveland. Indy's favored by 3.5.
I think Cleveland will beat the spread, but they'll lose the game.
Okay. Fair enough. New Orleans at Tampa Bay. New Orleans is favored by 3.5. I got to think Drew Brees is going to be one of those guys that you can't just sleep on every single week, and he's going to have to show up one of these weeks and put up a monster game. And you go, well, he is Drew Brees, and that's why I'm picking New Orleans on this one.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I got the same. New Orleans, they're just generally a better team, even though they're playing pretty badly this year. I still think they'll take it.
All right. You got Washington at the New York Giants. Giants favored by 6.5 points. My upset pick would be Washington actually beating the Giants in this game.
I don't think Washington's going to win the game, but 6.5 points is a lot of points. The Giants will cover, the Niners will beat the spread, but the Giants will win the game.
Jesus Christ. But the Niners are beating the spread. Well, not that week. What are you talking about?
The Giants.
I thought you said the Niners will beat the spread, but the Giants will win the game.
No, I said I meant to say the Redskins will beat the spread, but the Giants will win the game.
Okay. Well, I knew what you meant. I just couldn't have you acting crazy on just randomly. The Niners are beating the spread. Like, not, last week, they ain't beating shit last week. The spread, the game, to nothing. Washington, gotcha. See, my thing, too, is the other thing about the Giants is they got two losses, and they're both divisional games. That's not good for them. They lost to the Eagles, and they lost to the Cowboys.
They got to win this game.
This is the third team in their division that they've played, and they've lost to the other two. So, obviously, they're going to play the other two guys again, but when it comes down to who's going to make the playoffs, they already have two divisional losses, and that's not a good look. So,
plus the NFC East, they're always all over my goddamn TV.
Yeah, well, I hear you on that. I got the Giants and the Eagles every single week, 1-5, 1-16, unless it's out of, you know, if it's on Monday or it's on, but they're always on my TV. They play both of them every single week. You probably have, what do you have instead? You have, like, what?
I have the Redskins, and if they're not on, I get the Cowboys, occasionally Carolina, and for CBS, I always get Baltimore, and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because I have two Fox affiliates because I'm in between, you know, New York and Philly, so I get New York and Philly's games every single week, so it's like, you motherfuckers. Then you got Baltimore at Houston. Houston's favored by 6.5 points. And, I was not big on Houston as I was with their undefeated streak. Losing Ray Lewis and all that, Houston's favored by 6.5 at home. I got to go with Houston on this one.
Yeah, I got to go with Houston, too. I think Baltimore will be a decent team once they get used to not having Ray Lewis. But their first week back, I think Houston's going to run all over them. Or Houston's going to destroy them, not literally run all over them.
Right, right. Yeah, maybe not so much a running game, but yes, yes, very much so. I think it's going to take some adjustment for that. I really do. Green Bay at St. Louis. Green Bay's favored by 5.5 points. I got Green Bay on this one. Again, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. St. Louis has been up and down, and they've done some good things. I don't know about them beating Green Bay, even at home. So I got to go with Green Bay on this one.
Yeah, I got to go Green Bay, but watch out for St. Louis because, et cetera, this is one of those years that a team like St. Louis could beat a team like Green Bay. Neither of them are playing really well.
Could be. I honestly think that, you know, the other teams in our division took quite of an offense to people actually saying, like, you know what? Like, you guys I don't even know who's IMing me right now. I've never even talked to this person. You know, it's weird because when last year ended, they're like, okay, yeah. And then, you know, I'm like, yeah, fucking San Francisco. Next year, you motherfuckers better watch out. And I'm like, no, dude, everyone's like, oh, well, your division sucks, so that's easy. Now look at it. St. Louis, Arizona, and Seattle have been three teams that can seemingly beat any other team. Now, not every single week, but they're clearly not a hands-down loser when you look at all those teams. So I think all of them took a little bit of offense to that statement that, okay, oh, the Niners are a pretty great team, but, oh, we're all shit now? Oh, okay, we'll just guess we'll figure that out.
You can never really count out the Rams when Steven Jackson's playing.
Well, it depends, you know. If you can't throw him the ball or have 2 seconds to throw it to him, then...
Good point. But, you know, the guy's a playmaker, so, you know, there's always a chance when he's out there.
Sure. Like I said, Green Bay on that one. But Arizona at Minnesota. Minnesota's favored by 6.5 points. Me and Scoops got Minnesota.
So do I.
All right. Another big day for Christian Ponder.
Sadly, yeah.
You got Tennessee at Buffalo. Buffalo's favored by 3.5 at home. And I got Tennessee. I think the fastest man in the NFL is going to have another big day against Buffalo.
I got Buffalo.
Okay. So does Scoops. He also likes to call Chris Johnson the most overrated piece of trash in the NFL, so I always think that's hilarious.
Remember when he was trying to say he wanted to race Usain Bolt?
Oh, yeah, that was fun. That was really, really fun, especially when he started out the season the way he has. but it's funny. Two Scoops gets so riled up about that dude. He really can't stand him, so... I think a lot of his anti-Tennessee picks have a lot to do with his feelings on Chris Johnson. And again, he's really not wrong when it comes down to the stats that Chris Johnson's put up this season. So, man, it's just...
Yeah, last year or two, really.
Yeah. I just love to hear people fired up about something. So, good stuff. Next up, you got... Divisional rivals, the Jets versus the Pats. The Pats are favored by 10.5 points. I got to go with the Pats, even though I think that's too many points and I may lose on this one.
That's way too many points. The Pats are going to win that game, but certainly not by 10 points.
10.5.
I use the lower end because, you know, obviously they can't score half a point.
No, but they have to score more than 10 because it doesn't work at 10.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, there's no. What I'm saying is there's no way they're covering that spread.
Yeah, let alone the half. Right. I got you. I'm picking New England in a big win on this one, but I really don't even feel good about it. But, again, I mean, the Jets winning with an 81-yard passing attempt, I think there's probably guys who threw an 81-yard passing game on one throw. Sometime this season. But Good old Sanchez. He'll put together a total game with 81 yards and win. And you got Jacksonville at Oakland. Oakland's favored by 4.5 points. And I got Jacksonville. I don't know anything positive about Oakland for me to want to pick them. So I just kind of got Jacksonville on this one.
It's not that much positive about Jacksonville, but I agree with you, too, on that. When I bet, it was 4 points, and I put the money on Jacksonville.
Okay. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati, another kind of divisional thing. Pittsburgh's favored by 2.5 points. This is going to be yet another game that Polamalu's out. I got to go with Cincinnati on this. If anything, they've been putting up points this season. I'm pretty sure the majority of the games they've had, they've broken 20 points. Not every game. I wouldn't say every game, but the majority of the games they are putting up enough points. You take out the center of that defense, and I think they're going to do the same. I'm not sure if Pittsburgh can match it, so I'm going to go with Cincinnati on this one.
I have no rational reason for this, but I'm going with Pittsburgh.
All right. There you go. And then we got the last game involving your guys, and it's Detroit playing the Chicago Bears. The Bears favored by 5.5 points. I'm going with the Bears.
I'm really scared by this game. Those points is ugly. The Bears are coming off a couple big wins. I'm really worried about it, but, you know, I'm not going to go against the Bears. Bears, fucking A.
All right. That's what it is. I mean, that's all the games.
They really have, in the last couple of weeks, they've been doing what I was hoping they'd do, and they get Brandon Marshall, you know, with him and Cutler being reunited and their old offensive coordinator, the quarterback's coach of the Bears. Like, everything's really working in their favor. So, you know, the team's just really killing it right now.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, I definitely got the Bears on that one. Monday night is also, you know, a big thing. A lot of times teams play a lot bigger game on Monday night. So, you know, could be a factor.
Yeah.
Now to these games, we got our picks down and all that stuff, but who do you think could be the big upset? I mean, my upset, I think, is the Giants coming off that huge win and taking a loss to Washington and being kind of the, the team that has a good amount of wins, has a good amount of, obviously, they just won a Super Bowl, but have a little bit to prove within their own division. So that's my big upset. What would you, if you had to pull one out as the big upset?
I would say if one could be a big upset, I would say the Jets, because based on what we talked about earlier, you know, number one, they got their offense last week was through their running game, and also New England's defense really isn't that good, so there's potential for the Jets to really run all over them. So
right.
The Jets could conceivably win that game.
Yeah, I mean it's possible. I mean, that's another one of those divisions, honestly. Like, the Jets will play Miami, and you never know. Like, those teams do not like each other, and they go pretty hard. Buffalo
is
involved in that
Dolphin
mix,
fan.
Too.
I know all about that. I live with a Dolphin fan.
Right. I mean, Buffalo gets involved in that mix sometimes, too. But in the same token, I mean, I guess it's
not
that
really.
Yeah, not as much. But Jets, New England, Jets, Miami, you know. Maybe not as much Miami, New England. I think it's more of a New England thing on that side. But things happen. Things happen from time to time.
Yeah, within the family, there gets to be a lot of Buffalo-Miami stuff. Because, like I said, my wife's a Miami fan. Her mother's from Buffalo, so she likes Buffalo. So there's a lot of calls and texts back and forth when they play.
Wow, that's funny. I have a buddy of mine that's his mother actually recently passed, but she was a Buffalo fan, and he's a diehard Miami fan. So it was right in the house, and it was just like, yeah, who won today? And like she have a look on her face like, don't even tell me. And you know, it was always in good fun and stuff, but that was like the same situation. So that's funny.
I always have the thing when Buffalo loses big, I'll give her a call and ask her if the Bills knew there was a game today, not just a practice.
That's funny. So, yeah, man. Yeah, I think I'm going to take a little break and stuff because I got my guest coming on in a minute. Got all this NFL thing taken care of. It's fantastic. So, yeah, man. I mean, thanks for coming on. I mean, if you want to pop back on later when I'm done with my guests and stuff, you know, you're welcome to do so. If not, you know, any week, man.
Yeah, I see what I got going on. Yeah, thanks for having me. And I know I'm no two scoops, but I like to think I'm pretty entertaining.
Absolutely. And if anyone else doesn't have enough entertainment out of what you're doing, they can definitely find you on Stern Nation, right? Can you throw the plug out for that one?
Yeah, Stern Nation, the new episodes usually drop on Thursday night. You know, we'll take calls, even though we don't broadcast live. This week, we'll talk about everything that happened on Stern, iTunes.
So you don't broadcast live again? Is that what you're doing again?
No, because my computer's so fucked up, it won't really let me.
Okay.
So there's a problem there. But, you know, we still are able to take calls. I have a number open, and I'll just, like, tweet out, Facebook out, all that shit. You know, the number and that we're taking calls.
Good stuff.
We're going to try a little different format this week, see how it works. And, but myself and Stephanie, you know, it's just the two of us now. And, quite frankly, in my opinion, much better show with 2 versus 3. But, you know, we'll have Eli Braden. One of the guys who does all the song parodies, he'll be on this week.
Nice. You're going to do some parodies on your show?
I don't know. I'm going to see if he will. But Stephanie arranged all that, so I'll find out what's good, what's not. So, it's going to be a good show. Looking forward to it. And I always like when we have a Stern Show guest on. You know, we've had Hyper Jerick plenty of times, Tabitha Stevens, Eric the Midget / Eric the Actor, Little Mikey, now Eli, and Rachel Butera at some point will be on.
Sweet. So the address is again?
The address is not with me at this moment.
Oh, okay.
But they do have
a Facebook group.
Yeah, we have a Facebook group. It's a closed group, so you have to just send her a join request. And, you know, we approve everybody, but we just want the content to stay closed. And we also have a Twitter account, at Stern Nation Show.
There you go. Good stuff.
All right, man.
So, yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely. Anytime, man.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Talk to you later, bub. There you go. I'm going to play a track right quick, and then I'll have my guest on shortly. So let me see. You got 9:57. I want to play something around 3 minutes. Let me go with this new Uncle Murder joint.
Everything that's good.
That's that R-S-S, real nigga shit. That's that R-S-S, real nigga shit. That's that real nigga shit. That's that real nigga shit. That's that R-S-S, real nigga shit. That's that R-S-S, real nigga shit. That's that real nigga shit. That's that real nigga shit.
2 Chainz said he popped without wearing a nose ring.
He took a shot at Pac for wearing a nose ring.
Lil Wayne said he ain't feeling New York.
Then Fab made a record that was so New York.
This nigga Kanye talking about Kim K's sex tape.
I wonder how she feel about his new sex tape.
And these niggas say, ho, don't come to the hood.
He got the bosses sitting in Brooklyn right in the hood.
We ain't bringing the city back, making it look good.
We gon' Debo the game like the old school shook.
I said, stop.
Hold up, shout out to Lil' Kim. Bitches wouldn't be sucking dick if it wasn't for Kim.
Man, these bitches suck cock just to get to the top. That's because they ain't got that ill nana like Fox.
Look, free Remy, fuck the rap bitch, you got shot.
I'm on my John Gotti shit and then my Kennedy's drop. Now let's go.
It's S, real nigga shit. It's that R, it's S, real nigga shit. It's that real nigga shit. It's that real nigga shit. It's that R, it's S, real nigga shit.
Suicide, cause Lighty ain't commit that.
Nah. That grimy no girl did that.
Ain't no love in hip hop where y'all get that.
I know Mona Scott wish he could bring Chris
me
back.
Too.
Wish I could bring Biggie and Big Pun back.
I wish I could bring Stack Bundles and Big L back.
Game ain't the same. I ain't on no hating shit. Rap done changed. Snoop Dogg Jamaican shit.
Rude boys hugging too, they shoot at the Jakes. Man, I was mad if I cartel bleach the
Jakes.
There's a crowd going on, I wonder if Jeezy got it.
Shit, Meech would have had it, I wonder if Jeezy got it. Got a call from my man in the yard.
Yeah, I spoke to Sun too, he said that new Nas album is off.
It is.
He said he pissed off that Mark D broke up.
I know. You see that interview with X looking on Coke, son?
Let that
off. It's S, real nigga shit, get that off.
I'm back. So I do believe I have my guest on hold, and as I said earlier, he is an up and rising star on the independents, and his name is Shane Strickland.
Yo,
Shane.
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Going all good, man. How's it going?
Cool, cool. Same old. You know, I figure I have you on. Like I said, you're one of them dudes that, you know, you see and you know that in a short amount of time, your name's going to get a lot bigger. And, you know, I only seen a handful of your work, but I liked everything you were doing out there. And I figure we'll get to know a little bit more about you, you know, help maybe get your name out there a little more. And
yeah, of course.
That type of thing. Man. How did you get started? How did you get into wrestling to begin with?
Well, at first, like, it started way back in, like, probably 08, middle of 08. Mm-hmm. And I was actually living up here in Pennsylvania, and I was still doing my military. But I ended up, like, moving down to where my mother lives, which was Virginia. So I, like, didn't really, like, I just wasn't liking how my situation was going at the time. So I just packed up, moved down, stayed with my mom for a couple months, and ended up here for about a year. And I looked up this training school. It was called Ground Zero Wrestling, and it just happened to be, like, right around the corner from where my mom was staying at the time. So, like, the day I moved down there, I had to, like, I just called the promoter at the time, and I just, like, hey, just moved down to Virginia, looking to start, like, as soon as possible. And apparently they were doing a show while I was calling them. So ended up being like that Tuesday, I went in just to meet with them, sign my contract, the $2,500 and all that contract deal, started my training, and it's been like history ever since.
It was what, $2,500 for a year?
For a 2.5 year contract, and it was like a $25 a week pay.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the training like over there?
It was a lot of old school down south guys. So, like, my first night in, it was just like bumps, 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 bumps. And then chaining, 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 chaining. And then more bumps, more bumps, more bumps. And then chaining, chaining, chaining. And it was real old school, real down south. Like, worked on punches, worked on bumping, worked on. I didn't even run the ropes till like a month in.
Wow.
So, they took their time. They really, like, digested everything. Like, it was a good experience, though. And I don't regret it at all.
Cool. I mean, before that, obviously, you know, like you said, you weren't really happy with where you're living. You decided to go over there. And what actually, you know, gave you the thought, what inspired you to actually get into wrestling?
Well, at the time, like, I think I was, like, 12 years old when I started really, really getting into it and watching, like, religiously. And that was, like, the SmackDown with, like, around that time, I'd say Brock Lesnar was huge at the time. Mysterio just came into SmackDown. And, like, they just had, like, the biggest star power, I think, ever at that time. One of, like, the best, like, matches and, like, it was just, like, I was hooked ever since then. And then me and my buddies, of course, a lot of people started off in the backyard. So me and my buddies were just like, we were recording, like doing this backyard stuff and like jumping off a ladder. That's where I learned how to do like my first backflips ever, was off of a ladder.
Off a ladder?
Yeah, not even like
onto
on
what?
The trampoline. Onto straight up ground, straight up grass, through a table or through like chairs. Like I was doing like some of the little ultraviolet stuff way before I even knew about this stuff. So like I had like a little crazy streak at the time, being I still got scars from it to this day, but like I toned down on that since.
How old were you at the time?
13, 14. Yeah. I did it till I was probably like 16 years old.
Okay.
And it was just like, it was like really, it was so much fun. And it was like, oh man, this is like so awesome. I seen this other guy do this. We got to try that. Oh, we got to do this. We got to try top that. And that's probably like in the back of my mind, I didn't know, but that was probably the first time I like really got into like calling matches. And like going and running on the fly, and I didn't even realize that's what I was learning. So when I got in the ring finally, and I was like 18 years old, it almost felt second nature. I can do this on the fly. I can do this, like
right. All
spots. It was just second nature. So I actually like really think the backyard helped me out a lot, and it helped me move along a lot faster than a lot of other guys did, especially in my training class at the time.
Okay. So, I mean, when you got done training and all that, you know, you did your 2.5 year contract, you know, where'd you go from there? Did you start working within that Fed and stuff like that?
I was actually one of the fastest guys to go from training to working on shows with them. So like 6 months of my training, I was already on shows in a tag team and a storyline, like 6 months in, and I still didn't even finish my training yet. I was still training and paying off my dues while I was doing shows, and then like they were having me open up like the first match out, and we would just like me and my buddy, my partner, we were my first ever gimmick. I was a deacon, and my tag partner was a preacher, and we were the Holy Union, and like I still have it's hilarious. I look back at it, but like I still have the DVDs to this day. Hopefully, like, I can put that on a best of DVD someday.
Nah,
but, we were, like, flat out having, like, the best matches on the show. And I was, like, doing stuff that was so against, like, the down south style. It was so against the Virginia style. Like, I was doing flips over the top rope. I was, like, springboarding. I was doing, like, a lot of stuff. And they were like, man, you need to calm that stuff down, bro. Like, you need to calm down. I'm like... I mean, I could do this stuff. I could, like, hold a headlock for, like, 10 minutes, but then who's going to really remember my headlock compared to, like, 8 other headlocks later on that night? So, I was like, man, I got to, like, stand out. I got to shine. I got to do what's me. I just got to, like, fill things out, and then everything just started, like, flowing and coming easier. And then, like, I got into those situations where, like, there would be veterans that'd be, like, the 8 to 9 year veterans that would, like, freeze and not, like, just draw blanks in the match. And I'm here's me, 7 months into the business, technically, I'd have to cover up mistakes in tag matches, also being a face as that. And that, like, after a while, that's just like, you know what, like, maybe I can find my own formula. And I just started piecing matches together. And then, like, I still had to find ways to, like, also respect the veteran and respect, like, the 8 years, the 9 year guys I was working with. So it was a challenge the first, like, I'd say a couple, 3-4 months at when I was working shows. It was a challenge, definitely, especially being down south in Virginia.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that not only did it help teach you a whole lot, you know, having to figure it out a lot for yourself, but did it not also say, like, maybe I'm around the wrong veterans over here, or, like...
Yeah, definitely.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, where did you go from there once, you know, you got out of Virginia?
I ventured to Maryland once, I ventured to North Carolina, like, once or twice, but I was still, like, mainly doing Virginia. And then, like, I was having the best matches. I did a TLC match my first year in, and it was regarded, like, one of the best matches in our company's history. And then I was just feeling like I was just I was peaking in the company a little bit, not title-wise, but, like, match quality-wise. I'm like, okay, I worked everybody here, and I still don't feel like my career is advancing where I want it to be. So I just ended up, like, speaking to my mother, so I pretty much did the reverse angle. Like, my mom moved, ended up moving right back up to Pennsylvania. So I was like, hey, Mom, I'm not liking how everything's going down here. Like, living situation was fine, and it was working for me, but it was not getting me to where I wanted to be wrestling career-wise. So I ended up just, like, packing up, going right back up to Pennsylvania. And the first person that hooked me up was Phil Stamper, who was Nate Stein in CCW.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Cool, yeah, I know.
And he helped train me down in Virginia. And I ran into a little side comment. I actually ran into a lot of guys later on. Like, while I was training in Virginia, that's where I first, like, ran into Mia Yim. And I didn't really know about it. That's before she even took her first bump. Yeah, I heard about DJ Hyde. I ran into, like,
they talk good about him in Virginia?
Funny story about him. Funny story, and it's still funny to this day. This was before, like, I'd say about a month, or the show before I actually started training down in Virginia. They were trying to do the CZW Invades angle with DJ, and Maven was there. Maven Bentley was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to do, like, all right, you guys are going to be in the crowd. You guys are going to be in the crowd watching the show the entire time. I don't want y'all to make any noise or whatever, but we want y'all to we want the crowd to feel like CZW is in the house. We want the crowd to feel like, oh my God, this is actual Invasion. That's we were pitching it to them the whole time. This is two
right.
sides of the story I've heard. This first side I want to tell you is the my promotion side. They like my partner was there and he said he saw like the man. They was cursing on the microphone. They was throwing chairs in the crowd. One almost hit a kid, man. It was scary, bro. It was scary. Oh, my God, man. It was terrifying, man. They made it sound like it was like the scene from, what's the movie? He made it seem like it was a horror movie. You know, like everybody was dying. Mm-hmm. There was blood everywhere. It was horrible. And so later, like pretty much like earlier this year, I mentioned that same story to Maven, and he was like, oh, yeah, I was there, man. I was there. Matter of fact, them mother effers was like, yo, we want y'all to go home.
You got a Maven down.
He's like, man, they said, mother effers need to go off. Like, go off clean. Like, I want y'all to just, like, be, like go do what y'all do. Hop guardrails, throw them, I don't care. We want y'all to make this real. And Maven's comment on that was, what's our limitations? How far do you want us to go? Because we can go all out. DJ said the same thing. What is our limit? How far can we actually go with this? And apparently they were like, hey, do y'all thing. And Maven goes, all right. And so I was also talking to DJ. DJ was telling me like, oh, yeah, I remember that story. I remember in the crowd, one of the people in the crowd, one of the marks in the crowd was like, hey, man, I wish somebody would do something about this. And DJ says, you know what? I think I will. Hops the guardrail, starts the angle in the crowd, and just starts tossing it and, like, doing their thing. Apparently, it was so bad, security and actual police officers had to chase him out of the arena and leave, and they had to leave. And so I wish I was there to see that, but that's the two stories I've heard on that. But what was the question you asked me originally?
I said, well, how did they talk about DJ down there?
Oh,
do you like him?
He was Jason Voorhees to them down there.
Oh, wow.
Pretty much. Yeah, he was like, oh, my God, he's crazy. But cool guy, but he's crazy. I'm like, oh, he's not that bad.
So they ain't heard of a lot of people out there, huh?
No, like, they, like, my guys down there would over-exaggerate a lot. And so I'm, like, basically, for what I hear from Maven, I'm like, okay, I could believe that a little more. When I hear from them, it's like, okay, plus 2 divided by 10 minus 1,000.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah,
well, I mean,
okay.
If they're that into it, well, why not?
Hey, it was memorable. They still remember it. It was like 3 years ago now.
Yeah. So where'd you go from there after that whole thing?
Once again, I
back to
contacted,
Pennsylvania. So.
Yeah, I contacted Phil, and he told me about a place, Groundbreaking Wrestling. So GBW.
Oh,
Greg
right. Greg Eklund, right?
Right. So I end up heading out there to one of their shows in Hanover at the Armory, and I didn't work the show, but this is just me coming in meeting them, and I'm just like, I met with Greg, I met Steen Phil, and met with some other guys, and that was the first time, me meeting Adam Cole, and Adam Cole
okay.
wrestled Joe Gacy that night, and I was like, oh my God, these guys are really, really good. Like, I'm like, oh, this isn't Virginia anymore. These guys are really, really freaking good.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh man, I got to get on with these guys. So I ended up talking to Greg. He ended up booking me the following month, and my first match was against Alex Colon. And that's actually still on YouTube, by the way. And it's like, that's still one of my favorite matches because I came up north a whole new different style. And
yeah.
I just wanted to prove, like, I can run with these guys. I wanted to prove it to myself more than anything because I knew I could, like, I knew I could go. But I wanted to know how far I could go and how well I could do. And Alex was, like, my first real test. And he, like, we just had, like, instant chemistry. Right off the back, and we just flowed, and everything worked, and just bam, bam, move, bam, boom, boom. And I never had a match like that, and it was like that still goes down one of my favorite matches I've had since. And after that, I started messaging anybody I knew that was like really getting big, anybody who was like the guy on the indies. So I went to Adam Cole on Facebook messaging, and I just messaged him back and forth, and I sent him matches. He really liked me and Alex Colon. I sent him another match. I really, really liked this match. And then he gave me advice, like, constantly. And so I just kept messaging Adam, like, everything, sending him everything, asking him 1,000 questions. And and that shows, like, how great of a guy Adam is outside the ring, too. Because he, like, never once said, like, he never once was like, you know what, dude, get, like, sorry, I can't do this right now. Or never was, like, once bugged. He always, always, always had a response for me and always was just, like, the most professional guy. And it was just, I thank him a lot because he got my word up to DJ. And so one day I finally went up to DJ, to CZW in the arena while Adam was running training class. And I hopped in the training class and ran with the guys. And it's pretty much that's how it's been since.
Now, how different was the training in CZW than it was from when you were doing in, what you were doing?
The training was actually really, really good. It was really interactive, and it was a lot of trainees that were really well, had looked the part, and actually had the skill sets to match.
Right,
like Nate, the guys like Nate and Dave. They just had their first CZW match this past October. So this October, this past weekend, I meant.
Right.
And they did really well. And I was training with them guys, and I was running with these other guys, some of the guys that aren't there anymore, but they always have, like, it was just really good, really, really well. And DJ ran it, but Drew Gulak ran it mostly, and Adam was in there every couple days, I'd say. And then Sammy was there. So I was always training with Sammy or Drew Gulak or Adam Cole. It was always one of them three. And then DJ would come in as well. And it was always one of them four guys in rotation. So I was, like, just absorbing everything that was thrown at me, everything. And it just turned me into, like, a whole different type of worker. And it just changed my mindset, like, as a worker.
There's a lot of skill within that group right there, so.
Yeah. It's just vast knowledge.
That's what I mean. Like, when you were saying, the other one was, like, Southern training, and they just, bump, 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 bump. And,
right.
By the time, like, a little while in, you're trying to, like, work vets through the matches and stuff. And obviously it's a big leap from going in with Adam Cole and Sammy and Drew and, you know, like a big difference, right?
Right, truly. And it was just, I just like soaked in everything. And I just feel like I'm just a student of the game. I just want to learn as much as I can from anybody that's willing to teach.
Yeah, definitely good stuff. So what was actually your first match in CZW?
The first match I actually had, this is when CZW went to Indianapolis, Indiana, that one weekend.
Okay.
And,
Sunday or Super Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's when Scotty Vortex won the belt that night.
Right. Yep.
Right. It was me and a bunch of the trainees and one worker who's in Indiana doing the thing now, Kyle Maverick. We were all in the car together, and we all like just packed into this rental car. It was a nice car, but no room at all. And we just went out there. Since Kyle was actually Chris Hero's roommate, and he was when Chris Hero got signed, he went down to Florida. He kept the house running for him. So he's still like in the Pennsylvania area. So, but now since then he's moved back to Indiana. So that's his hometown, Louisville, Kentucky, actually. So he automatically knew he could get us booked the night before the Super Sunday show. So we wrestled that show, and then the next night went over to Indianapolis and did the CZW show. And Drake Younger put together like East Coast versus West Coast versus Midwest type. It was like a five-on-five, like 10-man tag. And so Drake pitched that to DJ, and DJ put it through. So
nice.
We all so that was like our opportunity to go. Like, okay, I think this is my first time wrestling in front of DJ since training. This is my first show thing. So I was like, okay, I gotta go in, I gotta kill this. Even though I had a few spots, but I'm like, I'm gonna make these spots count.
Right.
Dave Crist and Alex Colon were assigned our agents to help, because a lot of the Midwest guys were trainees. They were still learning, so we still needed agents for our match. So they pieced the structure of the match, and we came up with our own spots to do during the structure, and we just went in. And the match came off, but afterwards, I came out and sat down, and I was I'll never forget this. I was taking my kick pads off, just taking my gear off. Dave Crist comes up and slides the chair, and then right in front of me, and just sits down and laces his fingers and looks at me, and he stares at me for a good 7 seconds without saying a word, just looking at me, and I'm like, did I F up in this match? He 7 seconds feels like 25.
Yeah.
So, and then he just goes, and then he just puts his hand out. And he's like, you're a good worker out there. I liked everything you did, bro. He's like, where are you from? So I gave him a whole background. I'm like, this. I came up here, and then yada, yada. And he's like, you know what? I like you, kid. I like you, and I see good things in you, man. And I was like, okay, this is good. So, right then and there, I was pretty much made from there. And then my next opportunity was Aerial Assault.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget. I read the emails, and I saw the listings for who was put into the match. And then I saw my name, and I'm like, wait, whoa. And I wasn't even told about it. It was there, bam. With UHA Nation and Samurai Del Sol and Big Bride and Lucky 13. I'm like, whoa. So I actually had to get up and call Alex Colon. I'm like, yo, am I really on this? He's like, yeah, I thought you knew. I'm like, no, I didn't at all. So then I called DJ. I'm like, I didn't even ask DJ directly. I was like, has the Aerial Assault match listings changed at all since this date? Nope. Is it going to stay like this till the show
now,
date? Yep.
To preface what you're going to say about this match and stuff, this was the actual first time I got to see you live. I think I saw parts or some of that match that you did in the Indianapolis thing. But this was the thing right here, and I was like, yo, like, I told the girl, because it's basically, you know, it's just me and her usually go to the shows and stuff. And since, like, you know, 01, I stopped really going recently, but I still keep real heavy on and stuff.
Right.
So I was just like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm ready. Like, I'm all ooh-ha. I'm ooh-ha'd out on this. I'm like, ooh-ha, Sam Ray Del Sol need to go over, period, but this match is going to be bananas. And I was like, this card has been really good and all that, but this match is going to be crazy. And you came out, and I was like, this dude right here, he's got charisma. I was like, I like the way this motherfucker moves. He's got some shit about him. Like, he amongst everybody else in this ring, he still comes out here and he makes himself known. You know what I mean? Like, he comes out here and it's just not like, okay, a filler dude in the match, whatever.
Right.
You know, I mean, not to disrespect anybody, but there's other people in that match that didn't come out with half the confidence that you did on your early goings. And I was just like, see what I'm saying? Like, this is one of them guys right here. And you know, a lot of those points in that match, I mean, you just hit, you know, your spots right on cue. And I don't know. I just right away was just like, yeah, I like this guy. I like this guy quite a bit. So.
Well, a funny thing about it is like leading up to that date, I was riding with DJ to New York because we had to, Sammy was going to Japan or something like that. So we had to fill out, he had to do his passport work and all that. So we had to go up to New York and all that. So I volunteered to ride with him, and riding with him, he was like, all right, this is your shot. If you can't get over in this, I have nothing for you. So right there, boom, 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 boom. My heart's bumped, like beating like 20 times a minute. Boom,
yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm like, okay. All right, so I have to get over Uha, over Del Sol, over established, like, freaking Niles and McBride. So I'm like, okay, that's step one. And then right before the show, Joker comes up to me, and he shakes my hand. He goes, "All right, kid, this is your shot." He's like, "I really like you, man. Go out there and kill it." And right before, like, he walks away, he keeps holding my hand, and he turns it back to me. He goes, "Don't fuck up," and walks away. So now my heart's beating 500 times a minute.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Then on top of that, I see Mia Yim and Greg Excellent kill it in, like, one of the best ladder matches, TLC matches I've ever seen. So I'm like 1,000 times a minute. So now there's all this pressure on top of me. The best thing I could have done, Sammy gave me the music to come out to Jackson 5. Opposed to any whatever type of hip-hop crap I was going to come out to prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what changed gears and what flipped the script on the crowd reaction as well.
Yeah, and, I mean, it definitely added.
And that was like the best advice I could have got. So he said, Sammy was like, you know what, dude, instead of trying to be the hard ass like everybody else tries to do, instead of coming out the hard hip hop and all of this, trying to be bad, why don't you do the opposite? Go the opposite way. Go the other way down the road. I think for you, that'll work 1,000 times better. And I think that you can fill that void that CZW is missing right there.
And Sammy told you to come out to Jackson 5, or you took his advice and then said, okay, Jackson 5?
No, he said, you should come out to I Want You Back by Jackson 5. He said the exact song. He had the CD already there. And he's like, you're coming out to this. And I was like, cool. I'm a roller.
Nice.
So ever since then, it's just like, I'm using it.
Cool.
It was just instant over. It was like nobody else could, like, everybody was hard this, hard rock, hip hop. What's this? Jackson 5? What? Who's coming out to Michael Jackson? And then, like, bam. And it was like, bam, right, perfect timing.
Now, what was your thoughts on the whole match and how everything went?
Once again, it was like one of those matches that, like, I never done before, and I'm just I'm not out of my comfort zone because I'm comfortable with flips and dives, but I thought the match was one of the more cleaner aerial assault matches in CZW's history because I went back and watched a lot of the other ones. Some of them didn't come off as clean. Some of them didn't flow as well. And I felt like our match just flowed. Every part, it gave you everything that the fans were, kind of expecting but didn't expect it. It gave them lucha on lucha. It gave a big dude diving. It gave a newcomer putting a question mark on everybody's head, over everybody's head, wow, are we going to see this guy again? It built new stars. It established the stars already. And I feel like everybody played their part exactly well, perfectly well. Lucky did his thing but didn't kill himself, even though he came to the show, hungover. And he still busted the moon, the craziest stuff ever. I don't know how he did it.
Lucky's told me on occasions, too. He's like, all they use me for, man, is they just put me in the aerial assault matches and job me out to whoever. I'm like, dude, you do pretty well.
He was saying that, and I'm like, dude, you laughed like the last Final Four. I'm like, what the heck?
They throw me off the platform a few times, and then I go home. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, dude.
He had that attitude coming in. I'm like, this is going to be the craziest like dives ever. And I'm like, it's still going to be baffled how he does it. But I feel like this was more like it was a stapled aerial assault match because it just everybody played their part really well. Everybody complimented each other really well.
I personally, as a fan, was really worried about you guys because I've seen a lot of these aerial assault matches ever since they started them. I've been there, and that building right there where they ran, the guardrails were so close, and I'm like, man, these guys are going to be doing these spots, and they got about 2.5 feet to land and shit, and I'm like, they're either doing them in the ring or they got some worries. They only had 3 sides to the crowd. It was so small in there.
It was, and I showing up to the building, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is going to be cramped, and we have to do 8 guys? And then,
they were sticking boxes on the corners. Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you only notice, we only went off of one box. 2 boxes, actually. We went off of one box, and then Dragon went off the one corner, the little triangle corner over there. But everything was towards the entranceway. And it was just because early in the night, Fox did a freaking low main rain and hit the guardrail. And I'm like, okay, we're going this way. It's just But I feel like just half the stuff was like Uha was nervous, Del Sol was a little had his jitters, and me the pressure was on, but I still felt okay, I can do this easy. I smoothing it out, but I'm still my shoulders were I feel like I'm doing squats with dumbbells over my head. It was huge. Right. It was just so much pressure on me, but I still had to overcome it. I attempted the 630 where I almost killed myself, but I feel the highest spot in the match, I think I'll take it. I'll do it.
Yeah.
But it was the price you pay. You either go big or you go home. And, I feel like if I went and attempted that, would I still hold weight in the locker room or hold weight with, the crowd, the fans or anything? Or maybe if I wouldn't have done it, I'd be thinking in the car at home, how would my momentum be if I wouldn't have tried that? And that's just the way it is sometimes. That's where careers are made or ended. Fortunately, mine was made and continually. I get to continue to do my thing.
All right. Now, after that match and stuff, and obviously, it did good things for you, but, amongst so many people, it seemed to be a little bit of a gap between then and when when did you get booked again after that? Because to me it seemed like a little bit of space, but.
Well, after that show was the was Best of the Best, and like
right.
I already automatically knew I was like I'm not going to get on this.
Right.
Actually, after that it was, which was it? I think before that it was before that the 13th anniversary or after that?
13th.
I believe 13th anniversary was February, and then Aerial Assault was March.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So, actually, I do remember. So, after that was Best of the Best, and the pre-show was already Adam Cole and Nice. So I'm like, okay, I'm not getting on this. That's cool, that's fine, I'm here. I'm showing my face, I want to just support my company.
Right.
And I understood that, I knew my role, I knew my place, I'm still getting up there. So
Best of the Best.
I knew that.
Stack. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was. I was like, this is awesome. That was my goal. I'm like, I need to be here next year. I do not want to sit out of Best of Best next year. So
right.
After that, they went back to Ohio it was Cinco de Mayo. Or
yeah.
April, May. They went back there.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to be on that show, and I was supposed to work with Dustin Reyes. And Aaron McCormick. And Aaron McCormick,
okay.
I think, is awesome. And I was supposed to be in that match.
Too, honestly.
Oh, he's awesome.
I said that to some people. Some people, I ain't going to put him out there like that. But they're like, really? Seriously? I'm like, no, dude. I honestly, you know, I think he's a huge risk taker. I think he's pretty technically sound for what he does. He's not a huge dude, but he's one of the – I mean, you look at back in the day, like what Amazing Red did, and it was
exactly.
It was so innovative and quick and risk-taking. And, you know, it got watered down because injuries and just longevity in his career. But
exactly.
When you see a guy like that in a company, it means a lot, I think.
Exactly. Like, I think he's, like, one of the, like, the dude can just pull off some of the best stuff with like, some of, like, the most people you wouldn't even expect him to do it with. I'm like, this dude is really, like, going off right now.
Yeah.
And but like I was supposed to be in that match with them, and my whole car ride situation from like PA to Ohio just got trashed so bad, and Sammy was supposed to be in the car with us, so we felt awful about that. We couldn't do it and all this, like the money didn't add up, and then like rental car, so all that just got messed up, and but Sammy had to end up riding with DJ in the van, so that didn't work out. My fault that the next match I believe I was on was New Heights, and I was the opportunity match with my buddy Core.
Okay.
And we're the pre-show for New Heights, and I think that match went off really well, but it went off really well, and it showed people once again like, give me 5 minutes, I'm gonna make them 5 minutes matter. Give me those 5 minutes, this crowd's gonna pop. And they're going to respect my 5 minutes in this ring.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I was on camera, I was like, I'm going to make this matter.
Right.
Nobody's going to forget this. And so following that is when I started getting into it with Rich Swann.
And that, like, here's my thing with that. I'm not a kayfabe type show. So
yeah.
What I do, like, all right. Swan, I have the utmost respect for that dude. I mean, he's one of the best high flyers in the business.
Yes, he is, indeed.
He's gotten tremendous amount of, you know, due in Japan that he's clearly deserves. And,
right.
I think there's a few things they jumped the gun on him with over here because they CZW missed the opportunity with a lot of things with Swan. And then when he started to get what he was actually deserving, they kind of already missed it. So when Swan came back, it's like, well, I mean, there's what do you do with the guy, you know, because they had him mixed up in the blackout thing and stuff like that. And when I seen Swan matched up with you, I was like, this is Swan helping a dude out. This is Swan, you know, bringing another guy to the forefront that needs to be put there. And that's, I mean, maybe I'm wrong about what it was actually meant to be, but it
it looked really good.
Oh, and yeah, dude, I appreciated that so much from him because, apparently he went to DJ and was like, I want to come back with Shane. I want to come back and work a program with Shane. And that's
kind of what I saw without even being told that.
Yeah. He's like, this is what I want to do. The first best back, I want to work with Shane. And then he hit me up on Facebook and was like, it's me and you next month, 8 to 10. I'm like, word? I'm like, really? Where at? He's like, CZW, nigga. I'm like, oh, okay. Because I was expecting, aren't you going to work Sammy or work with, Fox or somebody? Like, no, I'm working you. I'm like, oh, okay. Let's do this then. And so, once again, weight back on my shoulders again. I'm like, okay, damn. I've been looking forward. The top three fantasy matches I always wanted to have on the indies was with Rich Swann, no particular order, but Rich Swann, Adam Cole, and AR Fox. And, I didn't expect any of that to, come up so soon. I'm like, wow, I'm working Swann. Awesome. So, going into it, the first time I actually met Swann was at Night of Infamy, I believe, this past Night of Infamy.
Okay.
And but they were doing the Dragon Gate show prior to that. And that was the first time I went up to the ring, shook his hand. He's like, yo, man, just keep killing it. Keep doing your thing. You'll be up here someday. You're going to be doing your thing. He's like, you want to – because DJ's going to give you opportunities, but you got to capitalize on it and you got to kill it. He's like – but he already knew – thing about Rich, you bring up somebody's name on the indies, he'd be like, oh, yeah, I know that kid. Like, how do you know this dude from Wyoming? Like, how do you know him?
Right.
Yeah, I know that kid. I've seen him before. Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. Like, how do you know him? So, he already knew my name. Like, he's like, you're Shane, right? I'm like, yeah, how do you, like, so, we got along, right off the bat. And he's just one of the guys that you can just, you can work any type of match with him, any kind, and he can get it over no matter what you do.
Oh, yeah.
He can get anything over. And he's just easy to work with. He's easy to get along with. And you're just going to have a great time no matter what you do in the ring with him. This is point blank.
Oh, I mean, you guys seem to be you're considering, continuing the storyline and everything like that. So, I mean, you got upcoming stuff too with him too?
Yeah. We're supposed to, between here and then, God knows what can happen. But we're hoping to have our blow-off, or not even, I wouldn't say blow-off, but we're supposed to go all the way to Cage of Death and maybe further. But right then and there, I'm like...
Good stuff, though.
Yeah, right then and there, I'm like, okay, from here on, we got to, kill it. We've been doing well, but I think we need to, stomp on, we shot the dude, now we need to stomp on his throat and kill it.
You might have to pull some of that backyard TLC stuff back out.
Hey,
only
hey,
with a more professional twist to it.
I'm willing to. I'd rather do it on a bigger stage level in the backyard. Hey.
Of course, Cage of Death.
All right.
Bigger.
Hey.
I was really happy with that pairing, though. What was your favorite out of those two matches, first and second match?
I feel like the second one was my favorite one. I say my second one, definitely, because we got more emotion out of that match than the other one. I feel like a lot of people, because we made it more personal.
We made it more personal. With the build of the first
one. Exactly. We made it more personal, and the crowd was, with us a lot more. Swann controlled the crowd, excellently. And I hit the move, boom, the comeback, the crowd was with me. And I feel crowd reaction-wise, emotion-wise, storyline-wise, everything, advanced better in our second match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All good stuff. Well, I mean, we got all that there. And also to add to it, you had mentioned Joker earlier. I don't know if you heard the interview I did with Joker.
Oh, yeah, I listened to it.
Yeah. And he puts you over pretty heavy saying that,
couple more good matches and Dragon Gate's going to snatch him up, he's gone. So I don't know how you feel about that type of stuff, but
Hey, I'm putting a match at a time.
Yeah. There's going to be opportunities out there, you know, and
right.
You got to do what you got to do. But what are some of the other places, you know, not even like controversial to where you're working or anything like that, but what are some of the other places that you would like to work company-wise?
I do want to work PWS, the Syndicate. Definitely want to go there because their crowds are amazing.
That's easy. That's easy. I only have so much good to say about them, so go ahead, though. I mean, there's a good amount of talent in that locker room. I ain't gonna go there on them, though.
Right. 2CW is a place I always wanted to check out.
That's in New York, right?
Yep.
2CW, okay.
Yeah. Dragon Gate, of course, like, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be biased and leave anybody out, so I'm, like, really, really digging deep. Who else? I always wanted to work boom. Who else is that? PWG, of course.
Yeah.
PWG is, like, killing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I've always, even though I'm a Jersey cat and everything, I always call them kind of like the top indie for a minute now. Like, they're really nailing what they're doing. I wish they were on iPay-Per-View because I would be happy to, feed them some money over there on that. But, I mean, they put down a very, very solid product. Almost every card is a super card, which is hard to pull off.
I just watched Battle of Los Angeles 2012 with, every single match was just, like, ridiculous. Like, over, like, 5-star every match. And I'm like, Jesus, like, I want that. But the one thing that killed me, like, that wanted me there more than anything is just the atmosphere. The crowd, the atmosphere, just, oh, my God. It's just, every time I, like, watching one of the matches, like, you get goosebumps almost. Because, like, dude, it's just, like, everything is just, like, boom, oh, the crowd is just always there throughout the entire show. And, like, you practically never see a bad match there, ever.
Well, that's what keeps the crowd going, because these guys are just putting on super show after super show. And, I mean, you never hear about a company like that, like, you know, oh, well, they don't pay the guys. Like, I mean, these guys, everybody's happy, everything goes off without a hinge. It's just...
Right.
You know, just top notch, and that's why I give them a lot of credit for that. Now, not to bash anybody else, but it's one of those companies, man. You catch it on DVD, and you're like, "Wow, that's quite a card, especially 2-day card." They put it on really well.
Oh man, it was ridiculous, man. Like, that's one of the dream places.
I still have to finish watching it, and then I'm gonna get my full review on a future show. But I don't want to jump the gun on that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Second disc is retarded. Retarded.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I was always one of the guys that just never wanted to, like, make it to, like, I never wanted to, like, go above and beyond to the WWE. My goal was always to make it overseas. Like, another company, WXW in Germany, always wanted
for
to
Germany.
Go to.
That's usually not the first country that comes up when someone says overseas. But
I love their locker room. I love their talent, the dudes they have. Like I heard how you feel about these guys, but I actually like Trent Seven and McKinnon.
I actually like the guys. Zach Sabre's off the chain. I'll give you that.
Zach is amazing.
Zach is awesome. He really is. I can't say nothing bad about that dude. But you know.
Yeah. Oh,
you want
that boy is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this another one? Is Fight Club Pro? Always wanted to do them. And like, I feel like being where I'm at, I have the opportunity opposed to like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I was never even looking at that. I never even had hopes and chances of that. So like, I appreciate like everything I do, every time I step into a ring, I appreciate the hell out of it. And so like, I feel like right where I'm at is just like leaps and bounds compared to where I am before. Even though there's guys that are like just soaring, I feel like, hey, like, I'm happy where I'm doing, what I'm doing right now. Maybe in 2 years, 3 years, my mind might change, and I want to like pursue like the Fed, pursue the Ring of Honors, pursue that. But like for now, maybe like I'm happy doing what I'm doing, and I can't complain for anything because I just appreciate everything I do.
That's good stuff. Do you watch, you know, the TV product and all that stuff?
Say again?
Do you watch, like, the TV product and all that stuff?
Yeah, as far as, like, I haven't been watching, but I have been keeping up. I have been, like, reading results and reviews and everything.
It's sad because I probably do about the same, and I have to talk about it every single week, so it's brutal. But, I mean, what's some of the things you like about what's going on in there?
I think anything Punk does is gold.
Definitely.
No matter what, like writing crap is thrown on his plate. He puts salt and pepper on it and keeps going. Kane and Daniel Bryan is over as hell. And I'm liking that. I love the shit they do.
Oh yeah, Daniel Bryan and Kane shit is awesome. Like, Daniel Bryan just extended Kane's career by 3 years, straight up.
Pretty much, by not even having to be in the ring half the time.
Just making it fun for him again, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I mean, what else was Kane doing that was actually going to be like even fun or new for him? And this right here is definitely going to make Kane be like, all right, yeah, I'm cool. We'll chill for a while.
He's like, hey, I'm over without having to kill people.
It's such a workable gimmick.
Exactly. To be honest, I'm not a fan of Ryback. I'm not a Ryback fan.
So many Ryback haters.
I'm not necessarily hating.
Were you a fan of Goldberg? I gotta ask that question.
Yes, I was.
I'll get the fuck out of here.
Yes, I was.
For what?
I was
an unstoppable push by WCW, and nobody heard of him before that, other than Atlanta Falcons barely heard of him neither.
Yeah, but like I think the thing about Goldberg was not like Goldberg himself; it's just the everything around Goldberg. It's just like the dude had an aura that was just like glowed. It was just like, dude, it will kill somebody. The dude is.
It was
dying.
WCW.
Yeah, everything around him just looked so well, and it's like.
And I love WCW, but
yeah.
It was WCW. They didn't have no killers. They had a fantastic, you know, cruiserweight division. They had those guys, but the top was just Kevin Nash and Hogan, and then you had this. I come in like a monster.
Of course. Well, like you got to look at it this way: Rey Mysterio and Malenko and Eddie and Jericho, all them guys in WCW, of course, were killing it in the ring, killing it, like just doing their thing. But they like, I don't think they had the glow and the aura yet. Jericho came to WWE, that glow, that aura was there. Eddie came out in the lowrider, that aura.
Okay,
like, Mysterio popping
how much,
up. Everything.
How much did Goldberg, glow
has,
in the WWE?
Not so much.
Well, okay.
Not so much. I think it's because like 187 matches, like it's only going to glow so bright. But I'm just not feeling the Ryback thing. I'm just not. Maybe I'm not. I don't know.
It will.
I'm gonna check it out, and I'm gonna YouTube like the crap out of him, try to. It,
in my
maybe.
Opinion, too, it's Goldberg for another era, and I think dude is stronger and stiffer and scarier, honestly.
Yeah.
And
I give him that.
You know, And even G's who worked him was like, nah, he was completely fine with me. Not like he's hurting people, like, yeah, he's just destroying people and it's not even right what he's doing. Not like,
yeah.
Even G's was like, nah, man, I ain't have a problem in the world with him. It's like, that was great. But, you know, and I don't know, like,
yeah.
I mean, look what he was doing with Skip Sheffield. They retooled him. They put him as the killer. And next thing you know, I mean, look what he's doing. I don't know. I like it. I think they're going a little bit fast with the whole now he's main eventing Punk and Hell in a Cell. I think that's a little fast, but
and
do they have to work with?
That, you know what? I think that might be my problem with him. I think that's what it is. Because I can't stand when guys get, like, shot to the top. You're Jack Swagger / Wade Barrett-ing him.
Right.
I was fine with
yeah, when they put him against Miz non-title, I was like, well, shit, he's winning the Intercontinental at the pay-per-view, and then he's going to mow through people Intercontinental. And then it was like, blink, no more Miz, now he's fighting Punk, Hell in the Cell. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What the fuck just happened? Like,
yeah.
Y'all just jumped a checker or something. Like, I don't know what y'all just did, because that was the only thing that I was like, kind of strange about, but I've heard he's really big backstage and Punk's big on him and Cena's big on him and real backstage, not even just, you know, on camera, and they're trying to find a way to push him. I don't know if it's too fast. I guess we'll see.
I have no patience for it, but I have very little patience for that kind of programming kind of deal, because it's just everything just boom, 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 boom. Let's get him on. Let's get him on TV. We're losing this guy. Let's get him on. Let's get him over. Let's get him. And, like, they feel like every time they put something on TV, it's going to be over. And that's not the case. And they rush everything. They don't take their time with it. It's just, here it is.
I understand that. But they drag out a lot of stuff that isn't working either, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's some stuff that they should have been, you know, actually boosted up. Kofi Kingston should be somewhere near the top of the card. So should Dolph Ziggler on a regular basis. And
yeah,
I don't know.
It's like, what do we know?
Stall.
What do we know? Way down here. Hey.
I know less than you, man. I ain't in the ring. I'm just an opinion.
I know, right?
It's like, but,
what
do
we know? Kind of but,
Who are your actually favorite wrestlers to watch, whether it be in the indies or on TV or in Japan? I mean, wherever, like, what are your actually favorite guys to watch that you're like, oh, okay, I'm learning from this, or you just enjoy seeing what they're doing?
I always enjoy watching a Ricochet match. Ricochet. Like, there's always something new, always something different. I love watching Gargano. I love watching the Zack Sabres. I like watching TJ Perkins. I watch a lot of Hiro. You can never go wrong with Hiro. Kenta. I love watching, of course, Sammy. I see them guys all every weekend deal.
Yeah.
So, but, like, as far as on TV, like, Ziggler, of course, like, Ziggler's selling is, like, amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I love
dude,
the way
he takes unnecessary bumps. Like, this fucking guy took a front bump to a monkey flip one time for no reason. He took, like a 450 monkey flip bump.
And
I was like, what the fuck are you doing, dog?
And it's just him popping himself pretty much. Like, you know what, I could probably bump like this. Let me do it.
Most of the fans
don't
even give a shit about that. And you're dying off a monkey flip.
Like,
what the fuck?
It's him trying to, like, just say, like, let's see if I can do this. Just nobody else is going to see this or care.
Oh, man.
like him. I love, like, Mysterio was the reason I started doing half the stuff I do in the ring. I always like the Mysterio match. Tyson Kidd is awesome. I don't think he gets the credit he deserves.
And I don't know if he ever is. And I worry about that guy and his longevity in the WWE. Unless he just plays ball. You know what I mean? He just does everything he's asked. But
exactly.
I just don't, like, it's sad because I don't see him breaking out in the WWE. Like, there's something that they're just going to just put him in whatever role to get somebody else over. But I don't know. He's been there a while.
The thought like that scares me with, like, what they'll do with, like, when Pac starts, like, getting on and, like, Brody Lee starts coming up. It just scares the crap out of me. And I'm like, please don't, you know, please don't dog him.
I'm looking forward to a lot of these older guys passing their time and just not being able to be in the ring anymore. And, you know, Triple H seems to start to be taking, like, a backstage thing. And he's going to be, I guess, taking full role of the company at some point soon.
Right.
And, Undertaker, come on. He shows up, like, once a year to do the WrestleMania thing. But at some point, they need a new guard. And if you can get a Chris Hero in there or a Cassius Ohno, you know, and feud with CM Punk in the main event, how golden would that be? I mean, come on, man.
Oh, my God. One can only dream. So that was just like, I think the buy rate would be through the roof when that happens. Of course, like, the common WWE fan's going to buy it anyway, pretty much, But how many Hero supporters are just going to just, like, tune in just to see how this works? Because, like, Hero is another one of the guys that can just get anything over. Oh, man.
And it'll take some time to build through, you know, the normal WWE fan that doesn't know certain names. But, I mean, if you see what Hero's doing in NXT right now, he's feuding with Steamboat Jr. and man, he's beast right now. He's looking phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
So I don't think they're really smart for putting Wade over with the Wade Barrett over with the forearm finish when Hero's actually making it work in NXT. But other than that, I mean, he's doing great stuff, and of course everybody, you know, indie wise knows about the Hero and Punk 90-minute.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it can be so good. It can really be so good. You know, Tyler Black can do some good things, but he's another guy I kind of worry about depending on what his place is.
Very true.
You know, back in the day, I really thought, why is Hero not here? Why is Hero not there? He has the height. He has the size. He has the technical ability. Why is he not there? I don't know the political, you know, stature of that type of thing. Tyler Black, he has phenomenal athletic ability, but I don't know about the charisma that Chris Hero or CM Punk or Daniel Bryan has. And
no,
that can come in time.
He's still a young, really, really, really young, especially for WWE.
Sure.
Extremely young. So, around, like, by the time he hits 30, it's all going to just start clicking and, like, everything's just going to be there. And,
sure. The fact that he's already all on the roster is fantastic for him.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The future really looks well, but if it's done well. The future looks so bright right now.
There's some good stuff going on. I really like to see more and more in these indie guys. And as much as people start to say, oh, I'm really tired of Punk with this title all the time, I can't stop being happy about an indie guy being the top of the company. I can't.
Like, what's wrong with that? Like, how long have we had a guy, a top WWE champion, hold a title for, like, really bring the meaning of it back, bring the true prestige about it?
And
I think out of anybody, and I think it makes a lot of people mad that it's Punk who is that guy doing that to it.
Yeah.
It's not their typical, prototypical WWE like guy. If this guy with tattoos and a piercing on his lip.
And that's the thing, people shit on the indies, but like, I remember watching, Punk and Raven do their feud in Ring of Honor and watch it live. And they were killing it. And it was just like, this dude is working like a crazy dark gimmick with a Raven. And it is getting over so well. And they're doing dog collar matches and this and that. And then he went from there, and he's doing, you know, matches with AJ Styles in Ring of Honor. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, man, this guy is something else. And for him to be the biggest star on TV, it's just like, wow, I guess I know what I'm looking at. This guy was even bigger than I even thought. Look at that. It's good stuff.
He knew something more. He knew something that everybody else didn't. Like, something just in his head is like, you know what, I'm gonna be the guy that just can do everything. I want to be that guy. But he knew something more than like a lot of other people got knew. It's like,
yeah.
And you can't tell or you can't teach it. He just knows it.
For sure. I had Ian on last week, and Ian said the same thing. He's like, this guy. He's like, he always had the drive. He didn't give a shit. Like, he didn't give a fuck what you thought about him. He was going to be what he was going to be. He's like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the best in the world. And you're like, well, you know, I'm just trying to do the best today. He's like, no, well, that's fine, but I'm going to make – he's like, oh, something about, like, yeah, I'm trying to make millions of dollars.
Yeah,
like, well,
I'm
trying to make my rent. And he's like, well, guess what?
I'm going to
make millions of dollars. Yeah,
I'm going to be, and it's not like, and the thing about him, he's like, oh, you can try to make money. I am going to make money. You can try to be the best in the world. I am going to watch.
And that's a fantastic attitude. If you're putting everything in your body out there, and you don't believe that you can do it, then I don't know what you're doing. And I mean, that guy, he is driven. He is driven, and it shows. You know,
yeah.
Guy won't take a Tylenol for a fucking broken leg and stuff. I mean, fractured skull. This guy didn't take pain medication, so
there aren't guys made like that anymore. This is just not guys. Like you can't make, and WWE's found that out. You can't make a guy like that. You can't make.
No.
You cannot like manufacture this kind of person, this kind of worker, this kind of driving somebody. You got to find it, or it finds you.
Well,
because it's fate.
And even that type of thing, you know, to reflect on a CZW guy, Drake. Drake had his, his tremendous battles with all sorts of substances and stuff like that, and he's really no, you know, quiet guy about what he's done. But he's become completely clean. He's become just shredded, he's over there in Gorilla. He's overseas in Japan. He's killing it. He's going through death matches, doing everything he wants, clean. And he posted something earlier today. I don't have it up on my screen, but said something straight up. Like, I am a clear fucking example why, you know, everybody who says that you need to do this in order to survive, you don't. Make your own choices. And that's the truth.
True. And, it sucks for me because like I wish I was around like those guys like the Drakes and the Gages and the Trent Acid and like I wish I was around them guys during that time so I could like really watch them grow to where they are now because I'm like this year just meeting Drake for the first time ever and like I see like where he's I see where he's at and how but I wish I would have seen. Like, where he came from, because I know about it and I hear about it, but I wish I would have seen it. But, like, big ups to him, huge, because the man has no quit, in it, like, just no quit. Like, he just keeps driving forward, and he keeps going further.
Drake is a humble guy. I'm sure you could hit him up any time, and, you know, he'd share his knowledge. You know, as far as, Gage and Trent, Trent was one of the biggest stars on the independents. He really was. And, you know, his vices got the best of him. And, I mean, what can you do? This is kind of one of those examples you don't want to live by. You want to be as good as Trent without doing some of the stuff that Trent did to, you know, set him downward. He was a tremendous guy. Like, I love that dude. As a friend on top of being a wrestler because I got that close with him just being a fan. And, it's a shame. It really is because he's one of those guys that could have easily made it with what he had in him, you know. And Gage is you know, one of those guys that could portray himself as the independent Steve Austin.
Yeah.
And
damn.
Still be the coolest guy outside of the ring with whoever.
Right.
But, you know, again, another one of those things where you just, you got to watch what you're doing, because it'll definitely take a hold of you.
That's true.
And, you know, it's good stuff to be around, but to learn from in the right way, because there's other people to follow that same path and be like, yeah, I want to be like that guy, and it doesn't end up well, so.
Exactly.
But yeah, man, let's take this down some ridiculous negative path. But yeah, man, I mean, anything else you want to put out there, you know, stuff you want to plug, or, you know, I mean, anything else you want to say, man, I ain't restricting you on time.
What else do I have? Keep watching CZW, keep tuning in, see what we do, because, like, man, we're really working hard, busting our asses in the ring, doing what we do, and I feel like every show is getting better, better and better, and we're keep trying to top that. Keep tuning in, always, like, ordering off of HybridENT.TV. You can always follow me on Twitter, at Strickland Shane, and always look at Facebook, keep up on Facebook on Shane Strickland, see what I'm doing. I'm always posting pics, I'm always posting events, posting interviews, all that. So always just stay on top of that, stay on top of the game. I promised somebody I'd say his name, and I feel bad because I can't remember.
I can't even remember.
Like, damn, dude, I forgot your shout out. My bad, bro. But I remember, you know, but I put it out there that it was you. But my boy Kyle Maverick.
I just like that somebody wanted you to shout them out on my show. That's cool.
My boy Kyle Maverick out in Louisville doing his thing. He's on doing his thing in HWA with the Chris Brothers. Man, so many people, right? But
Audrey, you ain't retiring and shit. You can come back.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like I want to be like the dude on 106 and Park who's there every freaking week. The one dude that always comes back. Like, now I'm always on 106 and Park. I want to be like, hey, this is my shit. So, but yeah, man. Like, it's always a pleasure. Always just keep up on the independence. Don't lose hope in your company, your favorite indie promotions. Don't lose hope in indie wrestling. Period. There's always the next guy coming to show everybody what he can do. Everybody has a story to tell, and just listen to their story. You might, you know, get some stuff that might change your life. Exactly. Everybody has a story to tell. I'm a prime example of, like, timing and opportunity. The timing and the opportunity presented itself, and I took advantage of it. It's not like I didn't get lucky. I didn't get, like, a handout. I worked hard for everything I got to where I am now. I always wanted more. No, I never wanted to settle for this. I always wanted more, and I still want more, and I still want to work harder, and timing and opportunity is the best advice I can give to anybody trying to make it in the independent wrestling scene today. Timing and opportunity, and you go for it.
Yeah. I'm sure.
That's
so,
my,
yeah,
that's
man. At that, I mean, yo, thank you for coming on, dude. And again, you're welcome anytime. I hope to get you back, you know, whether it be 6 months, a year from now, when you have all these other dream matches under your belt. And I want to hear about them because you're a great guy to have on.
Appreciate it. We have more stories to tell, but hey, I'm fairly new. Fairly new to
this. Yeah. Oh, so. Well, shit. That's
hopefully
what I'm saying. No worries, man. Anytime you want to come back on, airwaves are yours. Yeah, much
appreciate
love, dude.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man. Have a good night, man.
All right, you too, dog.
Peace. All right, that was Shane Strickland. Shane Strickland at that. I said Shane Strickland. Jesus. Great dude. You know, I like the guy. Like I said, I really think he's an up-and-coming guy in the business. He's going to be something else, man. He's already got tremendous talent, and it's only a matter of time before a lot of people are talking about this guy. You know, you see he has a good mind for the business and this and that. So I got to take a break and pish, and then I'll come back and talk a bunch more shit.
I think we all have these moments in our lives where we say or do things, and we're so sorry for it, really. It's not the way we would have wanted it to come out. Let's face it, this is real life. And this is the thought that was captured for me, that words only share a small portion of the vision that they give with you, too.
I had to write this in blood because the ink wouldn't stick. I sold 5 or 6 million, but yo, that ain't really shit. It was supposed to be different. We was supposed to ride out, but too much shot his girl, then shot himself in the mouth. Then a steady gang formed, but very soon fell apart. Cause when you're just doing art with no loyalty in your heart, like catching Alzheimer's, all these niggas forgetting where they coming from. Had to slow it down, wait a minute, what we running from? This is what we supposed to do, here's what we supposed to be. I hated MTV for trying to play me like a mockery, but that don't bother me, I just fulfill my fucking contract. Small price to pay just to get your piece of mind back, backfire, assassination of my character, just to make some millions off America. My younger sister Erica just adopted a child, my older brother served 15, he made it out, even though my father love me, I ain't seen him in a while. Had to fight my baby mama, bitch, give me my nigga now, cause he's running out of time and I need him to understand the way of the superior man. I built a brand, niggas talk about my taxes, I done paid Uncle Sam. I'm surviving cause the mind's eyes quicker than the hand.
Hate outgrew you, racism outgrew tolerances, and the city glowed at night with the fires of rage. Unconsciousness gave way to consciousness. People and miners lived out their lives and deaths on the 6 o'clock news, and we, me and my brothers and our sisters, went our own ways, discovering our own truth, our own pain, our own love.
Heartbreak. Disappointment. My mother died when I was 9. I just wanted to join her. Nah, Mr. Joyner, you get to California. I got something for you to do. It's like I was anointed. Resurrected. Found my purpose. I remember meeting Dre, being nervous when I would kick my verses. I was virtually worthless. My whole life was a circus. I was sleeping with serpents, and I thought they was worth it. I got a call from Paul, told me shit wasn't working. Exchanged words. I told him, tell me that shit in person. He probably told him. And by the way that he said it, unapologetic. It twisted, made it about him. I seen Slim and he said he didn't recognize me. Was it that or did he let another man define me? I don't know, but now I gotta get this all behind me. Follow my calling when I used to follow niggas blindly.
I don't buy my children designer clothes because I don't want them looking under their arms or on their behind to find out who they are.
I wish I had a better relationship with my uncles. Blood relatives I can turn to when I'm feeling trouble and talk about my struggles. My uncle John L, he only put me on the phone with different females. Yeah, this is such and such. Nephew, tell her what's up. Ain't even ask about Jermaine and Gallon growing up. Fuck, I drink it all and I smash the bottle. Self-medicated, numb, but I'ma feel it tomorrow. It felt like pain and sorrow was like a second skin. But now the pain is gone, I got my second wind. Only the strong live long, you better settle in. I'm fighting forever, I will never let the devil win. 1983, that's when my journey begins. I searched everywhere for strength and only found it within. This for me and my kin, still dying to live. Living life to the fullest till I see you again.
Alvin, I would love it if I could have one of those underneath just for that one part. And then to go into something else.
Yeah. So that's what it is. Anybody who wants to call in is 347-215-8300. The lines are open as a motherfucker. So you can call in, whatever. You know, I'm going to give a bunch of opinions on a bunch of different shit. And everybody is completely open and welcome to join on whatever I'm doing. So, you know, I'll just include you in whatever else I'm doing. Okay? So, have at it. I know I have me, Brent, Nina, and a guest. So I'll just post this in the chat, even though it's kind of worthless. Don't call in, Nina. I don't need this. Thank you. I actually chimed on that. The guest signed out as I said that. That was awesome. Cute. But I actually chimed in on the Two Moms, One Show thing last night. Tink wasn't able to show up. She was crazy tired. She's been busting her ass, two jobs, and, you know, the job and the haunt, and then she's, you know, crazy, just tired, and completely understandable. So, and I didn't plan on doing a show whatsoever, and it was just like Nina was dying. So I just came in and just, you know, just riffed. I had nothing down. I had nothing written. I had nothing planned. It was just like, yeah, we just riffed. And it was actually turned out to be a really fun show. So definitely everybody check out Two Moms, One Show from last night. I thought it was a good time. You know, I just did that. So, yeah. But again, anyone wants to call in tonight, you got the number. It's 347-215-8300. I like to read shit professional, like, we're all completely out of my character, like. All right, speaking of unprofessional, like, this motherfucker who talked about I lose credibility because I curse too much, Jerry Wiseman. He calls himself Dr. Jerry Wiseman, which is weird because I can't imagine that he has actual doctrine. If he does, like, I'm all done with doctors. I'm just going to start slicing shit off myself if I don't like the way it looks, because this is some old bullshit. So anyway, here's a statement that he wrote about the Goldberg and Ryback thing, okay? Now I'm going to quote this. Okay, quote, Ryback drew the ire of former WCW world champion Goldberg by saying in an interview that he, quote-unquote, Ryback, was a better wrestler and athlete than Goldberg was. Goldberg responded by saying that Goldberg did not remember seeing Ryback in the NFL, but denying that Ryback is a better wrestler. And then here's Jerry Wiseman's statement. Here is the definitive answer on the question about Goldberg or Ryback being quote-unquote better. And that is simply, they both suck. And worse than a toothless hooker on $2 BJ night. And then he tells you to follow him on Twitter. That's his whole statement. That is this cocksucker's fucking, that is his fucking journalism. His journalism is fucking like, yeah, Goldberg doesn't like Ryback. And here's what the actual answer is. They both suck. Fuck you. Follow me on Twitter. Okay. Dude. I wish we lived closer and we could run into each other for you calling me unprofessional or I lose credibility on what you do. What a scumbag. Like, he's such an asshole. He really is. Like, this guy is an asshole. He posts shit like this all the time. And it's just like, well, that's one side of someone sucking a dick. Follow me on Twitter, Jerry Wiseman. Like, what? What the fuck, dude? What the fuck is going on with you? You know? The shit that goes on your fucking Facebook don't make no goddamn sense. And the shit that goes on your little fucking website at 43 years old of age. Really? So you post like, they both suck. Follow me on Twitter. And you're 43? That's fucked up, dog. I feel sorry for your children. You know what I mean? I really do. I really feel sorry for your children. I think you're a homo. Even though, you know, you're clearly hugging your wife's enormous head with a tie on in a picture while you're also saying that Ryback and Goldberg both suck. And that's the end of that on your political and journalistic standpoint and follow you on Twitter. Now, you're 43 years old. I think you're a homo. So, yeah, you come and do something about that journalist. I mean, you know what I'm saying? All right, let me just play this now, because again, I want to get on a little bit more cheery type standpoint. So I'm gonna play a clip from the new Jack. What the fuck is it called? Breaking Kayfabe joint off of the KC commentaries. There's too many. I'm not plugging this shit. I'm just trying to tell you what it's from. This is funny. Check it out.
You know, Marks think I'm from South Central LA.
Right.
Right. And that used to be like the funniest thing, because we went to South Central one time and I got a map and was riding around. I was taking pictures of stuff. And trying to find, I was writing down where the hood was and this, that, and the other, so I would know, you know, if somebody asked me a question or whatever. So then when they started throwing up gang signs, I didn't know what to do back. So I talked to a friend of mine that was, her son is deaf, and she would speak sign language. So she would show me sign language. So when I come on TV, I start doing sign language. And people thought I was throwing up gang signs.
You could never do. You would never throw up a real gang affiliation sign, right?
Because I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are. I mean, I've never been in a gang. You know what I'm saying? I was just one of them niggas like, you bother me, I'm gonna get you back. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if I didn't need nobody. You know, I'm like, hey, mess with me, I mess with you back. You know, but a gang, a gang is gay. That's like gay. You know, I need help, but that's gay.
That's a brave thing to say on television.
You know, honest to God, they are. I mean, it's like, you know, you got to have 50 people to help you fight one person. You know what I mean? And you all got to dress alike. That's queer. You know what I mean? If Eric came in here dressed like me, one of us have to go change clothes.
Yeah, I would say.
You know what I mean?
Same, he got on the same hairstyle on both of you too.
He got a convertible. He got a convertible drop top.
Yours is by choice, though. It looks
like. No, it's not.
No.
No, actually, well.
Gangs are queer because they all got to dress alike and fight one motherfucker with a bunch of people. That's the funniest shit. That's why I love New Jack. He might be stupid as shit and do some stupid, unprofessional shit in the ring. But his commentary on things is just fantastic. I just love that shit. He's like, you know, I don't do none of them doing signs. You come at me, I'll get you back. But otherwise, gangs are clear. Get the fuck out of here with that dumb shit. You know what? Nah, you all dress alike and, you know, you all fight one motherfucker with 10 people. Get the fuck out of here, shit. Oh, he's so hilarious. I love him. But yeah, and it's crazy. Nina just, like, confirmed what I just said. Jerry Wiseman's watermelon on his Facebook picture that he's hugging is huge. You can check it out. He's hugging a watermelon on his Facebook picture. And that's fine. And the thing is, it's funny because I'm actually putting myself out there because I'm actually still Facebook friends with him. And he can get personal with me, and it's going to get a million times worse. A million times worse. I fucking beg him to get personal with me. He has access to my whole shit right now, which, you know what I mean? Like, nobody I really have problems with does have access to, but if he's still listening to my shit because he's on my dick, have at me, dude. I promise you, dude, I have 30 vacation days. I haven't take vacation for shit. I have 30 vacation days on my job. I will make a road trip, and I'll break you and your watermelon up. Yeah, I mean, whether it be in checkers, whether it be in Connect Four, whether it be in fucking life, you don't want to do it. But you have full access, so you go right ahead, and you see what fuck happens. We could. This is the shit that the cops didn't check me for. I had motherfucking mace around my neck. I'll blind your motherfucking ass. I mean, we can get New Jack on that shit. We can get, you know what I mean?
fucking, just fucking shut the fuck up. No one fucking needs to hear you talk. Okay, Jerry, shut the fuck up.
You know, like, I could get Devin. I mean, it just doesn't need to happen. Okay, so anyway, what else do I have? I have other stuff. TNA thing. Well, they had RVD go over on, Jesus Christ. So, RVD went over Zema Ion for the X title. I don't have a problem with that. The fact that they brought RVD down to the X title level, I think is really good for the X guys. Honestly, like, if they're going to bring X guys in, you know, whether it be Zema Ion or G's or whoever, I think, you know, working up against RVD, I think is kind of like a good thing. Like, I mean, them just continuing to push some of these guys towards certain levels that they don't even want to. They don't want to put RVD at the home front. They don't want to put him on the top of the card. So why not let him work some of the guys who work the style that he's always worked and make it work? So, and that was a lot of the word "worked" putting into an actual statement. So I don't know. I'm stupid. But no, I think that's a great idea. I'm big. I think Zema's done a phenomenal job in this joint. I know everybody on all these other shows that I'm also friends with are just like, I don't like Zema. I don't like him. I don't like him at all. Like, no, I think he's done a really good job. And I think the fact that you don't like him and the fact that he's a heel are probably kind of hand in hand, and he's done a really good job in doing what he's doing. And that douchebag that broke his neck, that was his fault. And a lot of people blamed Zema for that shit, and it wasn't his fault. That's why they didn't decline him one fucking bit, and Jesse Sorensen doesn't belong in the ring. And, okay, we'll see what his career ends up like. I guess you're going to blame Zema for that if he doesn't amount to anything. Be like, well, if Zema didn't break his neck, like, shit. Joe won the TV title match. I don't care. I mean, they have a lot of fucking things to make up for as far as Joe making, you know, the shit work there. They fucked that shit up. Chavo and Hernandez in the new, refounded LAX without the more talented part in there. They won the tag titles. Well, then they did the whole aces and eights thing. Now, you know, they ended up unmasking D-Von and all that, and that's fine. I just don't think D-Von is the leader. Like, they try to kind of play off like D-Von was the leader. And I know this is supposed to be, like, their big show. No shows are big for them. Let's be real. No shows are that big for them. So we're not going to... It's their WrestleMania. Is it really? Go check their numbers and buy rates, and I don't think that is. The biggest buy rate that they get, they'll make that show their new WrestleMania. Like, believe me, like, there's nothing locked in on them being all signed up for this, this being their biggest joint. And let me see something. So, yeah, I just don't think this is going to be their biggest buy rate or anything like that. And, you know, obviously, you know, people wanted the Aces and Eights blow-off joint. And who knows if that's going to be it. I'm not sure. But, dude, you got... What do you got? I mean, they came out with D-Von. Okay, D-Von, brother D-Von, D-Von Dudley, fucking uncle, pastor D-Von, whatever the fuck you want to call him. Okay, great. he's only a piece of the puzzle. Now, I don't think this puzzle is going to be the fucking... I don't think this is going to be a work of art, this puzzle. But in the same token, you know, they're building something. They have a whole group of people. Everybody else is still under masks. The one person they've unmasked is D-Von. Now, you don't unmask the leader first with the whole crew still staying under masks. No. You one by one expose members and then come out with the leader. Eric Bischoff is going to be at the head of this. You know, it's going to have a lot to do with him. A lot of other shows, you know, Don Tony and Mission Ember Wrestling Soup, they've come up with a lot of good ideas of possibly Brooke Hogan being involved with that, which wouldn't be a bad, like, a mic time role type thing involved with it. Eric Bischoff, you know, from what they've edited down of The Voice, like, they have people who switched The Voice up to actually, you know, edit it where it sounded exactly like so. I would agree with that it's Eric Bischoff. But in the same token, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people, like Luke Gallows has been called from the start. Like, yeah, he's one of them. He's definitely one of them. Look at the size of him. That's one of them. So D-Von is going to be exposed before that guy, and that guy's not going to be exposed. But he's going to be the surprise after D-Von. Now, like, I think there's a bigger surprise in the upcoming, and again, I don't think that's the end all. I don't know. I think they got a lot more to do with that, and I hope they make something out of it, because TNA is another brand where WWE is a very difficult brand to watch. So I'm not really sure that I want to continue to do this for that much longer, and you know, it is what it is. Okay, so I don't know. I don't like that whole gimmick. I don't like nothing that's going on with that. And but in the same token, it's only a piece of what they're trying to do. Like I said, the RVD thing with the Young Bucks, I think that's good. Hardy ended up going over Aries for the world title. Hardy's a merchandise seller, so I don't think that's a bad thing neither. And then on top of that, well, shit, Aries already being escalated as, you know, a main eventer. That's great stuff. And I'm sure that match was pretty good. I didn't watch this shit at all. It was another results joint off of me. I have CZW shit. I have a couple other things, too. But I feel like I'm going to take another break. Because I ain't, you know what I mean? All right. Some Sean Pete. At the end of the month, Sean Price's Mike Tyson, MIC Tyson joint is probably coming out as far as what I've seen advertised. So I'm pretty hyped. So on account of that, I'm going to play a Sean Price joint, which was supposed to be a lead up to Mike Tyson. And yeah, it was like a year and a half ago, at least. Might have been 2 years ago. Shit.
For the RP, Peabody, he does it parties. For the RP, Peabody, he does it parties. For the RP, Peabody, he does it parties. Dizzy on my head, my chick, it's like bling. Drama we bring, you ask a small thing, it's the G-O-D. For the RP, Peabody, he does it parties. Dizzy on my head, my chick, and nice bling. Drama we bring, yo, that's a small thing.
Aight now, pay attention to the guard body, Sean P. Smacking you niggas with the sketch head, Sean. Illest nigga too. Smack earth, wind, and fire, and make that nigga straight retire. You get mad glory, and your flow is mad corny. Your tight ass clothes put you in the bad category. Got funny style like Brad Brother Corny. You're broken than the fucking joke like half on the 40. I blast on the shorty, young and out of his mind. Get your snot box, rocks in the box, that's pine. Flesh, turn the magazine worms just like swine. I kill your whole swamp, part with just one line. I'm God, cypher divine, all type of the rhyme. A widow, I hear those lines, waste the time. Y'all can't fuck around with Paul, please. It's the G-O-D. Follow y'all, G-O-D.
father, y'all Peabody, hit down at the parties. Desi on my head, my chick, the nice bling. Drama we bring, yo, that's a small thing. G-O-D, father, y'all Peabody, hit down at the parties. Desi on my head, my chick, the nice bling. Drama we bring, yo, that's a small thing.
And I just wanna just live my life. And I know you guys talk bad about me, and you got a really bad snick out there about me, but you know, I'm gonna make sure you talk about me and your grandkids and kids after that are gonna know about me.
Right.
I'm gonna make sure of that.
Yeah. That's my dude right there. Everybody know I love me some motherfucking Sean Price. Alright, here's what happened on the CZW show this past week, and I'll give you a quick rundown, because I'm only reading results. I didn't get, you know, they didn't have an iPay-per-view, so I really couldn't talk about it. I'm not going pre-show, fuck the pre-show. Main show, Sami Callihan, curtain jerker, new guy, Sami Callihan. I don't know what he's like, but he debuted against Pepper Parks. And he ended up winning via a move called the Stretch Muffler. So let's hope the future pans out for that guy. It sounds like a good outing. Fuck. Then Nevaeh beat Cherry Bomb. And then DJ Hyde got on the mic and killed the crowd. Oh! Spoiler alert, I'm supposed to have DJ Hyde on the show next week. Now, here's the thing, like, I'm really working this through in my mind, and I'm going to do it, but I'm trying to make it work in a way where, see, I don't ever call somebody on my show just to treat them like shit. That's not my gig. Like, I'm not fucking Jerry Wiseman. But I poured thousands of dollars into CZW as a fan. I continue to talk about it as the primary fed via this podcast. And, it's a lot of what I'm interested in. But I have a tremendous amount of problems with it. So, I mean, if I'm able to confront and ask the owner of it a bunch of questions, you know, and let him respectfully, you know, answer the questions or whatever the fuck. And again, I mean, everybody who's heard the Joker interview knows he had a bunch of bad shit to say about him. And I was saying something, the very same shit, far before Joker said it. Just on my own account, Joker doesn't hit me up on a regular, so what the fuck do I know? And then, like, he said a lot of the same shit without even hearing my shit or me hearing his shit. So, I'm going to clip stuff from Joker and allow DJ to respond to that. Because, see, the obvious and clearly easy thing for a guy like DJ or any owner of a company to go is like, well, you're just a fan, so you don't really know what goes on in the business because you're not in the business. So when a guy like Joker posts a certain these type of things, well, then I guess you have to address them, you know? And it's not, again, it's not an attack. It's not me being a douche. It's me being realistic. Dude, I'm turned off to what the fuck this product has become. I think fucking hiring a guy like Brett Lauderdale and allowing him to burn bridges and strut around the ring with a fucking cigar and a beer in your own fucking match, I think that's ridiculous. And I want to know why that shit's cool to you. I want to know why that shit's allowed to you. You're so professional that you think that's okay. I want to know. Just questions like this. People want to know. Yeah, I mean, I have a bunch of questions. And if DJ shows up, I'd imagine he would. He's not really the type of guy to shy away, but in the same token, he's definitely the type of guy to do a lot of fucking kayfabe interviews. I listened to two shows out of this one show that was called Dante Mania. The one show was actually pretty fucking funny because what they did was they all took like boner pills, like some kind of like get hard pills. It was like three or like four of them or something like that. And they had a chick that I guess was one of their chicks or something that just sat there and shit. And they watched the China porn, the China in-ring porn. It was like the China wrestler, whatever the fuck porn. And they had like a contest while they were doing the show and like reviewed the porn as they were watching it and made a bunch of like funny ass comments as the porn was going. And they would get it if they got hard, they would get eliminated. Like every couple of minutes, they'd have to stand up and be like, oh, you dick hard? No? Okay. But, and the thing that, this is why I don't buy it, but the show was funny. The show would have been funnier if like a dude or two got eliminated, but, they all passed whatever the fuck, but, the show was funny because like the way that they commented on the porn as it went on, it was pretty funny. I did enjoy that. And me personally, I guarantee you I would have got eliminated because I'm into porn and there were other chicks other than China there. So it's just, there's no way that you're just not going to like for half a second. You're going like an hour and a half. I don't know. Well, maybe the thing that would have broken is like they were all sitting in the same room. There were a bunch of dudes that probably would have fucking made it not work for me. So maybe that's, you know, the dynamic that worked for them too. But shit. Otherwise, like, yeah, it's fucking porn. It is what it is. Like, you don't even want to fuck those people. It's just like, well, sex is happening. Fucking dick is up. Just find something better. You know? Hey, some shit like that happens. But nah. They all fought off that thing and whatever. But it was entertaining. Like I said, I'll give that. That was entertaining. But then they did, like, A Chat with DJ Hyde. It was another show that went up. And this was like 30 minutes, and it was just like the same panel going. And let me preface. One of the people who is, I think, Dante, who the show's named after, sounds like Bigfoot from the Howard Stern show, from the Whack Pack. That's what he sounds like. So, my dick isn't hard, it is. Yeah, like one of those dudes. Where the fuck is Andrew? I thought Andrew was calling back in. Cocksucker. Hold on a minute. Great pod. Yay. But then they did a chat with DJ, and it was like 30 minutes of just kayfabe cocksucking. It was just like, why'd you fire Matt Tremont? It's like, well, because he didn't want to play the game. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, you don't go against the grain when you're the boss. And then that guy, you know, he just like, he's like, I can do what I want because I'm the boss and I'm the best. And like, how many wins did Matt Tremont have? And then they bring up Nick Gage and like, yeah, well, how many wins did he actually have? Okay. All of this is scripted. Okay. Masada, low key, this is a work. Stop trying to kill people. Okay. And then on top of that, DJ, stop it. When you talk to fucking adults, stop talking to them like they're 15 years old. Stop it. No one likes it. Okay? It's not cool. I have Andrew on the line, but I'm still yelling.
So I noticed.
Listen, you guys, you're acting like fucking retards. Talking to adults, and you're just like, well, I fired him from the company because he hasn't had enough wins. Yeah, clearly. When everybody says that he's the next coming of deathmatch wrestling and he's the best thing in your company, and you're like, well, I fired him because I didn't like the way he was talking to me. Like, no one believes that. We're adults, okay? Okay, DJ? So you'll be on my show next week, and we're not going to play ball. We're going to talk like adults. That's what we're going to do. Hey, Andrew.
DJ's coming on your show next week?
Yes, he is.
Wow, it's going to be interesting.
At the very least. So right back for CM Punk. What do you think about this?
It's got possibilities. It's got some real possibilities, and especially because I'm guessing since it's one of the main events, it's going to be in a Hell in a Cell.
Oh, that's down. That's what they pitch in the Hell in a Cell.
Right. So
it
should
be
interesting. I don't see Ryback walking away with it, but I see him. I see him walking away with some believers.
Well, it's weird. I could see things going both ways. I could see Ryback working away with that, and then it becoming, you know, CM Punk having to climb a hill and saying how unfair it was and doing that type of, you know, political thing and climbing back the ladder. Because he's really good at being that type of heel that he was wrongfully done. He's really good at that, and he's had it forever. And I'm not against him keeping it whatsoever, but Ryback, like, I honestly think this can be far better than people expect it to be. Because CM Punk is a ring general, and Ryback is I think he works really good as an in-ring monster. I don't think he's that unexperienced. He's obviously not nearly experienced as like a CM Punk or anything like that, but I don't think he's that unexperienced. You're like, nobody's ready yet. It's just not. You know, they need to be 35. Like,
I don't need remember, he's been in the company the exact same amount of time as The Miz, because he was in that Tough Enough that was done on SmackDown that The Miz was in.
Right.
So it's not like he's inexperienced. It's just that, you know, he lost, 2 years due to that injury?
Right. Yep. And they did a skip with Sheffield thing, you know. I don't think that one was that good.
Well, but it's like, how many people did they go through all these stupid fucking gimmicks and names for them before they found something that works, you know? And it's, you know, they did that with Skip Sheffield, you know, and he was, he was a Nexus guy, and, you know.
Same guy.
That whole thing happened, and, but that gave him time to repackage, time to really improve on himself, and he really has done that. And you know, a lot of people are saying he's a Goldberg clone, but you know, Goldberg was fucking over for a couple years there.
Yeah. I
really look forward to the match. Actually, I think it's going to be really good.
I actually think it could be really, really good. I think CM Punk could pull it together as a decent wrestling match, and I think if they pull the whole work on Ryback is the monster, and CM Punk continually dips the devastating moves with heelish tactics and completely slips out and try to outsmart the big monster and does that type of thing throughout the match, and then a couple big bumps happen and, you know, the match ends up in whatever it's going to end up in. I think it can work out really well. Like, just psychology wise, I think it worked right. And CM Punk has all the psychology. He's going to lead the match. I mean, if anyone says it's the psychology of this match is wrong, then blame CM Punk. Cause believe me, Ryback is not leading this match. And I think the physicality that he puts out is going to be, you know, the avoid, and then he hits his spots here and there, and CM Punk battles back, and then he gets out of that. But CM Punk's supposed to be the heel, so it's not gonna be like battle back hero stuff. It's gonna be he's only gonna hit with so much of his stuff, and he's gonna avoid it and cheat out of it, and then, you know, the big payoff will be Ryback hitting some fucking big stuff on him or throwing him off of something. I don't know. I think at one point or another, and I've had this weird feeling, and I don't know if it's going to be CM Punk, but I wouldn't doubt it because he's one of those guys that wants to make an impact. Someone else is going to get thrown off of that that Hell in a Cell through the announce table. And
the weird thing, though, is that cell is extraordinarily higher than it used to be.
Maybe.
Like at least,
but the lower it needs to be for that spot, though. I mean,
but at least for a few feet, by a few feet, that cell that they've been using these last couple of years, since ironically, since people stopped going up there, it's taller. I mean, it's going to be more impact.
I would agree with you on that, but in the same token, I have this feeling like it's not going to be the last guy to go through that. And when they keep harping on, what did Mick Foley do? What did Mick Foley do? Well, one of the biggest things Mick Foley did in WWE was that match. And at some point when they keep rehashing this match, it has to eventually come near that match, at least trying to come near that match. People haven't gone through the cage, off the cage, anything from the cage, and then you're just like, well, just going to bring the cage down and then throwing them off the side of it and pinning them.
Here's the other thing about that match, though, for Mick Foley. Like, Mick Foley, that match pretty much catapulted him into the main event.
Yeah.
That match was a co-main event match because, obviously, there was a title match after that.
Right.
So that match really was integral in making Mick Foley a main eventer. CM Punk doesn't need to do that. He's already at that level. He doesn't seem like someone who would take that kind of a bump. I don't know who's in the other Hell in a Cell.
I think CM Punk still would. I honestly think he still would. Like, he's so driven that I would not doubt him taking that bump to be like, yeah, guess what? I'm also that sick as well. Like, he's not just like tremendous over the top hardcore guy, but if something that only one other person has done and he would do it as well, like, I would not put it past him. I really wouldn't.
Well, and I don't see Ryback doing that because generally speaking, these big guys don't take that kind of a bump. I don't know who's in. I mean, I'm assuming it's Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio because that's who it's been for the last 6 months. Gosh, I definitely don't see Sheamus doing that either.
No. But someone who gets what it means, and that's like a CM Punk. And a guy who's, you know, defied all sorts of odds and done things above what he's been expected to do. He was never expected to be higher than a mid-carder in the WWE's mind, and he came in and he made his spot. And
from everything that we know, CM Punk's the only person in a main event of that pay-per-view that has that respect of the history of wrestling. You know, we're not sure about that with anyone else, but it's pretty well known in CM Punk's thing, you know, how much he loves and respects the history of
Like when I had Ian on last week, he said this dude, like, he watched his own matches more times than anybody else, and he was his biggest critic on every single match, and like he never stopped watching his own things and seeing where he did wrong, and like he was just really just critical on everything. And he's like, this guy just, he never stopped. He was so driven.
The guy has his own bus, so after Raw, he can watch Raw and watch his match again.
Yeah.
He generally doesn't fly unless they're going somewhere where you need to fly. He takes that bus because it's, you know, it's like a home for him.
Then he's banging half the locker room, so, you know.
Well, yeah.
Got the Divas division. Whether it be past, present, legend, whatever.
That's between him and his doctor.
Yeah, that's clearly in the long run. But, you know, it's crazy stuff that they're going on. And either way, I think it's going to be good. I honestly think it's going to be a good thing. Cena not being part of it, I don't think is a bad thing. Even though, of course, he might make an appearance and pull someone's leg or whatever the fuck goes on. I hope he doesn't. I hope they just let this be and let these guys, you know, Ryback evolve through CM Punk.
Oh, yeah, so I was looking at it. So if someone goes to the table, it's definitely going to be Punk because it's Sheamus and Big Show in the other main event. So,
if Big Show
yeah.
died on that main event, that would be positive.
Well, you know, I was reading something when Giant Gonzalez died. I guess it was a couple of years ago. That
right.
The average lifespan for someone over the size of 6'8" is like 42 years old. And I'm pretty sure Big Show is close to that now. And he's not in the best shape. So he's, in my opinion, he's probably living on borrowed time.
Yeah, I would say so. And I'm sorry to say, for people who are watching him on TV, they're not sorry.
And, you know, he was pretty good when he was younger, when he was in WCW and doing the Giant thing. Like, he was decent then. But
he was throwing Rey Mysterio off of...
The best one, though, was in WWE, where he was doing a match with Rey Mysterio, and they had to take Rey out on a stretcher. So they picked up the, you know, so they strapped him to the little pad that they put on the stretcher, right?
And then he swung the stretcher like a baseball bat into the...
yeah, into the turnbuckle, yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. That was good stuff on Rey's end.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He sold
when you weigh 500 pounds and you swing a little dude, that's, well,
Rey
good luck,
have
little
a choice
dude.
To sell it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few things with WWE that, you know, I don't even know what they're doing with the tag team division. It's kind of ridiculous. But Antonio Cesaro.
For a while, though. You know, it's not like it's something that's just now happening.
No, I know. But they pretend like they have, like, one, and then they just squash half of them. They're like, yeah, okay, right back, kill two of them. Like, oh, okay, I guess they'll be back next week in the running. Okay.
I don't get this Rey Mysterio Sin Cara team, because I always thought they were going to, you know, go at
it. Why
do
they have to call everything team something? There's, like, Team Cobro and, like, Team...
It's like Team Road Scholars. That's the one that gets me. It's like, just call them the Road Scholars, you know?
Yeah, or Cobro. Which, don't. Just don't do that. Like, fire fucking Zach immediately.
Yeah, like, I never thought he was that good.
Santino was one of the biggest fucking, like, kid faces and merchandise sellers, and they're like, yeah, you're going to be with fucking Zack Ryder, and, like, it's going to be Team Cobro. Like, why?
Like, and I get why Santino's around, but I don't get Zack Ryder. It's, like, it's almost simply because he has that web show, which it's, like, I've never watched. I don't know. Good.
And now they're at the point where now they're just jobbing the fuck out of Brodus Clay again. What happened to them just having Brodus Clay and Santino together and being huge fucking like kid faces and making a good time out of it? Like, I don't have a problem with that.
And, you know, I like Brodus Clay, too, because it's like it'll be the easiest thing in the world for them to do with him what he did when he first came out. And, you know, just take this big, huge guy and make him a monster, but they try to, you know, give him somewhat of a personality. What's that?
The most human version of King Bowser that they did first?
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world to do that, but they tried to give him kind of a personality. So, I mean, it was good. It was different.
I don't have a problem with the personality because the personality sold a shitload of merchandise. And if you teamed it with Santino and just kept it as that for fucking 6 months, 6 to 8 months, straight up, like, don't try it for 2 weeks and be like, oh, okay, whatever, and then do something else. And then the one bitch fucking gets drunk driving charges and they take Brodus off TV for 3 weeks. And then, you know, like, you're suspended and so is everyone that's involved with you. And then, you know, they go off of that, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah. The next thing you know, oh, it's Cobro. It's like, dude, what the why is Santino so he's buried
now. It's like,
now.
I don't get why the girl getting arrested had to bury him, because I would probably say that you could take anyone from developmental, anyone backstage, stick her out there in that outfit, and most people wouldn't notice.
There's only so many black females in developmental.
Good point, yeah.
But other than that, I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, you take an attractive black chick and stick them in that outfit, and probably not going to go, but that's not Cameron. Like, no.
Let me tell you, for me, I paid so little attention to it. They could have stuck a white girl or a Latino girl in there, and I wouldn't have noticed.
I don't know about a white girl. I mean, you go weird. When they do the rope thing and they put their asses together, you go, wait a minute.
Those asses don't match up.
There's only one ass in that picture. But yeah, I get what you're saying, and it's crazy stuff. Who knows what goes on with them? They book random things and they push who they want to push, but it doesn't always make sense.
And I also think it's kind of a waste to take this Rhodes Scholars team, because I think, you know, both Damian Sandow and, to an extent, Cody Rhodes could be pretty successful singles guys. And, you know, historically, and, you know, it's going back like the older days of tag team wrestling, you had tag team guys and you had singles guys. And normally the singles guys didn't go into the tag team thing. And I mean, like, they have a bunch of true tag teams, so why do you need to take singles guys and put them up to, you know,
look, that's the thing, they don't have true tag teams right now. Like, they refuse to bring up the Briscoes because, according to the Briscoes, we ain't cosmetically pleasable, or something along those lines. But, I mean, they're a fantastic tag team. Just clicking random people up. I mean, the primetime players are retarded. Epico Primo thing. The Epico Primo thing that they're doing, you know, they got the dancing chick and all that, and that seems to work. And then they just put the two of them against Ryback and just fucking squashed them in one match. It's just like, okay, they have no credibility now. They lost the one dude. So,
but like,
all this time you try to build them and the chick keeps dancing, she needs to stop dancing. Dance for someone else.
Yeah, but it's like with the primetime players, like, they're trying at least. I mean, it turns out that's a horrible team, but like, they tried with it.
Turns out, like, you didn't know originally.
But at the same time, they also, for this tournament they have going on, they put together Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel as a tag team, which is, you know, to me, I'm thinking that's not a bad idea, because it's two people who aren't really doing anything as singles. So, you know, if you put them in a tag team and see what happens. But then, you know, they lost in like 3.5 minutes or something like that. So it was like, all right. I mean, but it's just like, they're not even willing to try with tag team almost. Like, they put together this tournament, but it was like, look at who's still left in it in the finals. And it's, you know.
Right.
It's Rhodes Scholars, Mr. and Sid Cara, all singles wrestlers.
It's ridiculous stuff. And just, I get fed up at the WWE. I mean, they act like they're possibly pushing Kofi, putting him up against The Miz, non-title for the thing. So eventually, maybe, I guess, in the pay-per-view thing, maybe Kofi will actually get a title and start getting pushed. And who knows?
Dude,
but
WWE spoiled it. Kofi won the title yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, whatever that main event show, I think it's called. He won it on the taping for that. But WWE put that up on their website.
There you go. So you won it off TV?
No, I mean, it was on, I think that show's on Ion Network or something, which my cable system doesn't carry.
How's everyone watch that? Is he on Ion Network?
I don't get it.
Does he have Ion Network?
Whatever the name of the show.
He lost to RVD and then just put over Kofi on his network. That's awesome. The Zima Ion Network.
You know, I've heard of that person, but I've never seen them wrestle because I haven't watched TNA in probably a year and a half.
I've seen him a lot on the indies first, so I didn't, you know.
Not too many indies come around here. Pretty much I'm stuck to Ring of Honor. When on the rare occasion they come through.
Yeah. Well, it happens. I don't want to go too much longer tonight because these 4-hour shows fucking kill me on working the next day. So, I covered most of things. But
did you talk about the new developments in Bubba and Hogan?
Well, from what I hear, the new developments is, like, just more bitterness and more, like, Hogan say, I'm suing, and Bubba saying, I'm all upset, and, you know, it's like, everybody knew. And that's kind of what I said to begin with. Like, Bubba walks around with fucking enormous guns. Like, he's a big, like, I have guns, I have security, I'm scared. He's a super paranoid dude. He talks a bunch of shit, but he walks around with a bunch of guns and a bunch of security and a bunch of whatever he has to do. So to think that his whole house isn't under fucking security from the start is something that I said, like, I don't buy it. Like, and if you're friends with him, I have a feeling that you know that, because I know that, and I'm only just, I don't even listen to Bubba. And just knowing
right.
through Howard and knowing through Carolla and knowing through Bill Burr, whoever else has visited Bubba, like, oh, that guy's fucking crazy. He has guns and everything everywhere. I'm pretty sure people knew shit was under surveillance. And that's kind of what it's now boiling down to is like, yeah, everyone knew. Okay. And everyone knew it was under surveillance. And then, you know. So,
well,
I mean, is that what you're saying? Or is well, there
let me
more
tell you
to it than
things.
What I'm saying? Because
Well, yeah, number one, I know you haven't heard it yet, but Bubba was on Howard today.
Yeah, I read, like, some of what he had to say, and I'm going to listen to it tomorrow, but...
But let me tell you about something about Bubba, too, is the thing is, like, he says, yeah, I was... And we know Hogan, who's a piece of shit. We've always known that. And to
yeah.
an extent, Bubba. But, like, and, you know, if you really think about it and you really know the history of it, Bubba would not exist if not for number one, Hulk Hogan, and number two, Howard. You know, that's a fact.
Right.
Back in the late 90s, Bubba used to bash Howard. That's how he first got his name out. But the other thing that he did is he wasn't like, hey, I'm going to call Hogan, try and get him on my show, and they developed a friendship. He followed Hogan around. Like, he was borderline stalking Hogan.
Right, right, right.
And it's like, oh, he lives in Tampa. I live in Tampa. Let me go hang out outside of his house. Like Bubba is fucking creepy as fucking balls and like would not
leave
Hogan alone. So it was more, and I think eventually Hogan was just like, fuck, this guy likes me. I can put my shit on his show and pretty much get away with anything I want from him. And that's exactly
right.
what happened. And if you know anything, you know, like Bubba like was like, oh yeah, I'm friends with Hulk Hogan. And he made him like Hogan is the godfather of Bubba's kid and shit like that. So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just like, finally, Hogan proved what a piece of shit he is and sued Bubba. And Bubba's going to be kind of an asshole about it. He's going to, you know, tell all this stuff about Hogan that we've always kind of suspected but not known. All these things that are generally not said out of respect, like the whole thing with his son's accident. Like, and Bubba's, like, really laying all that out. And it's
is he already, or you think
he started to? He did it on his show the other day, and he talked about it a little bit on Howard this morning, not to mention, you know, all the other shit.
Yeah, it is what it is. I honestly think, though, like, I can't just call, like, Bubba in the wrong. I don't like none of these fucking people. But I don't think I can call Bubba in the wrong completely and say Hogan was. No, Hogan knew he was fucking people on camera. And then when he was like, he got put out there, like, oh, fucking dude, I'm going to lose my newest wife and stuff, man. It's fucking bad, brother.
That was
you.
Like this morning. Like, everyone who's ever been taped in my house knows they're being taped.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I don't 100% believe that, but I do believe that Hogan knew because they were so close.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And dude, you're like, go ahead, fuck my wife, brother. You also don't know there's cameras. Like, you're close enough to fuck his wife, but you don't know there's cameras. Oh, okay, cool.
Right. He said he's never seen. Bubba said he's never seen the tape, which I don't really believe.
Now there's a lot of contradictory things to what Hogan said and what the tape says and all that type of stuff. And
something tells me Bubba pumped off to that tape.
Huh?
Something tells me Bubba pumped off to that tape.
That's gross. I never think about that ever. But you know.
But you will know. Not
no,
the
no,
thoughts
I,
in your head.
I actually won't. No, I mean, like security footage of a fucking horribly shaped dude banging a chick that you can barely see because of his enormous stupid body and fucking saying horrible things that just definitely shrinks a boner. So you're not,
Think about it this way, though, too. And it's like, that's one of those two favorite people in the world on that tape together. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, one he's divorced from, and the other one is now suing him. So it all works out.
Yeah. Bubba said when he was on Howard today that he didn't know he was being sued until he saw it on the news.
Right. That's right. And again, Hogan was like, yeah, I fucking wish you would just return my calls, brother. It's like, don't. This is all weird. I don't know.
That situation just fucked all the way up. And, you know, under normal circumstances, I might care a little bit more.
Yeah, I clearly don't. But yeah, dude, I think I'm going to wrap this up. I need to go to fucking sleep.
All right, man.
Thanks for coming on a second time tonight. Fantastic.
Your hospitality is limitless.
You are always welcome, my homie.
All right, dude. I'll talk to you later.
Stern Nation, once again.
I didn't have the address earlier, but I have it now.
Uh-oh. Do it up.
And our show is hosted by all of our friends over at Wrestling Soup. So the link to the feed is wrestlingsoup.com/sternnation/sn.xml. So there you go.
Yeah, I would never remember that.
Well, luckily it's been recorded, so for all posterity. So anyone who doesn't have iTunes can go or Stitcher can go to wrestlingsoup.com/sternnation/sn.xml.
Play this. Hold on.
TOPLESS.
Do you take loads to the face and everywhere else?
Oh, Robin, that's inappropriate. Musculate you. Baba Booey.
A19.
I want it right now.
I hate my brother.
Yeah! Stern Nation.
Check them out on Podomatic, iTunes, or Stitcher.
Any girls ever had two penises in their ass?
I have, twice.
You should have mentioned that. I mean, that might have put you over the top.
Well, the thing with that is we're not on Podomatic anymore, too.
Well, you know, I mean, most of those things apply.
But we have a note on there saying, follow us here. So,
yes.
If anyone went there, they'd get it. But check us out tomorrow. I'm trying to see if I can get someone to help us run a live show so we don't have to worry about just the recording. Some people that can listen in. So that should be good. A lot of stuff happened this week.
I have still two shows to catch up on.
This is the night for shows, too. When I did False Count Radio, we did it on Wednesdays also.
Oh.
I mean, we got your show, got Sports Den, Women Love Wrestling.
Yeah, that's definitely the plugs, man. But, for sure. You know, and I'm going to wrap it up, give the plugs to everybody. Obviously, Women Love Wrestling, which is, I think, at this point, it's www.blogtalkradio.com/womenlovewrestling. No two anymore. We're just going to cut the two off and just Women Love Wrestling, because they do. Because
there is no Women Love Wrestling 1.
The what?
Because there is no Women Love Wrestling 1.
I know, right? Yeah. And then Sports Den, which it's one of those, check them out on Facebook, the Sports Den group, because they got one of those, like, Ustream /sports/channel/sportsden, I'm probably way off, but I try to follow what they're trying to do there. Try to pick up what they're putting down, and it's hard. Definitely check them out on the Facebook Sports Den channel. They talk all sorts of sports. They talk about how the Yankees are down 3-0 and Nick is sad. And they talk a lot of stuff like that. you clearly have my friends over there at the Wrestling Soup that, you know, they do their things tomorrow night where hopefully we'll be picking up the ball that we dropped last week, and they'll be doing this type of thing. Yes. Yeah, you got all of that. You got Two Moms, One Show, hopefully with a full Two Moms on next Tuesday, because I was like the second mom, which is weird, last night. So we did that with Lisa and Boats and Hoes. And yes, it was not expected. And that was that. So hopefully Tank will be all sleep rested and ready to do it on Tuesday with Nina. That'd be great. Then again, next Wednesday I do my thing, Yakuza, and I should have DJ Hyde on, and
Explosive.
I'll try to be nice. Huh?
That should be Explosive. You and DJ.
Like, yeah, Explosive. Well, you know, we'll see. But anyway, I'm about to wrap it up. So thanks for coming on, Andrew. I'm going to play a couple things right quick and then take it out.
No problem. Thanks again for having me. Talk to you later.
Absolutely. Love you, homie. Peace.
All right. Late.
So, yes. Let me play a few things and then take this to the bridge.
Booker, I want to have sex with your wife. And I'm not just talking any kind of sex with your wife. No, no, no. I'm talking, you know, that kind of bestiality sex with your wife. You know, what I want with your wife, Charmel, I want to have that kind of perverted sex.
Keep it up, I'm a nigga.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.